One of my favorite lines comes from a movie, Field of Dreams, and it goes something like this. This game, this great game, is as innocent as children longing for the past. The feeling you get when you go to a ball game, walking through the aisles to your seats, sitting in your shirt sleeves on a perfect afternoon. You find your reserve seat somewhere along the baselines and acting if you were a kid again. It's almost as if, though, you were dipped yourself in magical waters that the memories will be so thick you have to brush them away from your faces. Yes, the one constant through all the years has been baseball. America has rolled by like an army of steamrollers. It's been a race like a blackboard, built and erased again. But baseball has marked the time.
Welcome back to TSN 990 Special Programming. This is Dave Kaufman, and we're here to take your calls most of the night on Gary Carter. And we're going to start right now. We've got Jeff and Dorval. Good evening, Jeff.
How you doing there, Dave?
I'm all right, man. I'm really sad, but I'm
me too, bud.
Happy to be talking to all of you across the country tonight. I know how much it's, you know, were you on Twitter today when it happened?
I don't do the tweets.
Well, I'll tell you, it was the most incredible outpouring of emotion I've ever seen on Twitter.
I'm sure the lines are blazing.
It was everybody on my feed. It doesn't matter if it's somebody from the world of sports, the world of Hollywood, the world of Washington, D.C. Everybody stopped and paid tribute to Gary Carter, and it was very overwhelming.
Yeah, I hear you. And very classy for the Hawk and Crow to call into. Very
sure
nice to hear
was.
Those
yeah,
guys.
It was something.
I was holding it together until I heard Crow, then I lost it.
Yeah, I don't think anybody was able to hold it together during that.
I hear you. Listen, I got a quick point here.
Take your time, man. Take your time.
I hope that tomorrow morning when we wake up, we see the flag at City Hall and the flags on top of the mountain at half mast.
You know what? Why expect it? It doesn't matter. We all know how we feel in our hearts, and whether some politicians decide to commemorate that or not, who gives? Really, that doesn't matter at all.
Well, I know, but you know, he was for many years. He was a big part of the city's aura. He's contributed to the city's history, and he and the Montreal Expos for many many years gave free advertising every night on sports channels all over North America to Montreal. And I hope that the mayor and government officials at all levels realize the contribution, and I think a guy like Gary Carter has that coming to him. He's earned it.
Well,
anyway, that's my point, and I'll let you get to the other callers, and hope you feel better, man.
Thanks, Jeff. You too. We're here all night, other than a brief respite from 8 to 9 when Connor McKenna will regale you with hilarity from the poker club. But other than that, we're going to be here all night. On my show a few weeks ago, we did a Gary Carter tribute. And we will be good. Sean, you need me to take a break and take that? All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're trying to get some guests together for the show tonight. We'll be right back on TSN 990. Welcome back to TSN 990. This is Dave Kaufman. I'm going to be with you for most of the evening, sharing your stories and really just talking about Gary Carter and how much he meant to all of us, not just in Montreal, but really all over. And let's go back to the phone, Sean. We're going to be... phone lines are open, people, and we'd love to hear from you. 514-790-0990, 1-866-896-2546. We're talking about Gary Carter. Mark, how are you?
Good evening, young man. This is Mark Malone. How are you doing, Dave?
Mr. Malone, how are you, sir? I haven't seen you since the Expos. Wake at Casual Spore.
Yeah.
How you doing, man?
Morning.
Yeah.
This is tough. I met Gary many times, saw him play dozens, if not hundreds of games, and... a very sad day.
There really
a lot
isn't.
Of his cards. I'm looking at his jersey here that I have up, and I might just wear it tomorrow.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
I think that's a very good idea.
Yeah.
I think everybody should wear some Expo stuff tomorrow. If the weather holds up, then we should really all wear some Expo stuff tomorrow.
It was nice enough today. I figure in Florida it was sunny there too, so, you know, we went... right up to his maker, being quite faithful as he was. And we're just happy that he's not suffering anymore. And we have many, many fond memories of Gary.
Really isn't much else to say, is there, Mark? It's,
no.
It's just a tough day all around, and a reminder to all of us just how much he meant.
Yeah. And listen, I hope maybe your station has some other Expos reunions in mind maybe and stuff. And I'll try to make it.
I sure hope so, too. You know what? I promise you, Mark, that we will definitely have more Expos reunions. It's something that it just feels good when all of us Expos fans get together and celebrate. And we definitely all need to get together and celebrate the life and accomplishments of the kid.
Great. I hope to play another good season this summer of fast pitch ball, and I'll be thinking of him when I'm out there on the diamond.
Don't be a stranger, Mark. Thanks for the call.
Have a good evening.
Let's go back to the phones. We've got Sonia Jean in St. Anne de Bellevue.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
I'm going to miss him so much. I knew this was coming. He's been sick for quite a while, you know. And I relish the days that I had with him. On ladies' night, I used to go. It was Thursday night, and I would get a half-price ticket and go all by myself, all the way from St. Anne de Bellevue, you know. And I've treasured every Expos game I've ever seen in my life, and I adore them. Years ago, I wanted to get an Expos tattoo, and people talked me out of it, and I still wish I had that. I don't even have a tattoo.
Sonia, I'm the same as you. It's if I was to ever get a tattoo, it would be an Expos one.
Yeah,
and people have talked me out of it too much, and I know a few people that have them, and
they don't regret them, I bet.
No, they don't, and they look great.
No, and I wanted to call you especially because my brother is listening in Halifax to this show, and he's the one that called me to inform me. I've been ice fishing all day, so he was the one that called me. I saw a little blip on TV, but there's nothing like the 990, Team 990, that will inform you of. Excuse me.
That's okay, Sonia. It's okay.
Everything that's going on.
We're all feeling the same way, Sonia.
Okay.
We're all feeling the same way.
Okay.
There's nothing to be...
We've seen many a game, but it's something that we treasure. In our, you know, I was born in 1960. I started listening to them. I got addicted to the Expos and probably, as old enough as I can remember, maybe 70. You know, I'm 52 now, so it goes way back. And I just love the Expos, and I always will. And I will have my Expos scarf out. Remember when they used to have Scarf Day and Toque Day and Backpack Day and...
All the good old days, Sonia. Oh, I think we lost her. Sonia, if you want to call back, you're more than welcome to. Do we have our special guest, Sean? Okay, Kevin, if you'll hang on the line, we'll be right with you after we speak with our special guest. I'm going to bring in a good friend of mine, and I want to thank you for coming on air today. Anakin Slade joins the program right now, and I know that this is probably the last thing you want to be doing, but I appreciate it, man. How are you?
Good. Trying to... Yeah, I just feel like, I don't know, I thought it would be easier, to be honest.
Yeah.
I really thought, at first I felt like, you know, the hardest part was just the acceptance that he was battling this disease, and, you know, you kind of got to prep yourself, and I felt like I did, but not doing so well.
No, I'll tell you, Anakin, when I saw the email from Caringbridge today, for those of you who don't know, the news was announced on the Carter family's personal website, where Kimmy Blomers, Gary Carter's daughter, has been giving updates since last May, and she's been giving them very frequently up until a month ago when they announced that Carter would not be continuing any more treatments. And I don't know about you, Anakin, but it really felt awful quiet. I was going back to that Caringbridge site a lot looking for updates, and today just glaringly showed up in my Hotmail that Gary Carter's family has posted to the Caringbridge page, and not going to lie, man, I got excited. I thought to myself, well, maybe there's some good news now. And for her to have written 20 minutes after her father passed on, for her that to be the place that she goes and to get it all out to everybody, man, I just the flood started. I don't know what else to say. It was just a very difficult thing to see written in front of me.
Yeah, again, you know, you're trying to prepare yourself, and you're trying to think, you know, like, well, you know, like I said, I thought the worst part was over, kind of accepting, and, you know, obviously in the back of your head you're thinking, well, maybe he can beat it, you know, maybe maybe miraculously he can beat it, and
if anyone can, it's going to be him.
Well, that's it, right? Last guy in the 86 World Series, two strikes, and he you know, smacks a base hit, and then the rally starts, you know. So in the back of your head, you're thinking, is this the 86 World Series already, you know, all over again? But, that's not B, and it's just one of those cruelties of life, I guess. And, you know, at first I was okay with it, and then I heard Crow's interview.
Oh, man.
You know, I had just seen Crow last month, and we're friendly in the sense that we see each other, we hug each other, and we put our arms around each other, and we got that kind of love thing, you know. And when I heard him, Mitch said exactly what I wanted to say, which was like, I want to hug you right now.
Yeah.
And then I just kind of let go, and then I thought of my family. I tried to call my dad, and my dad didn't answer. And then I thought of my brother, and I thought of my best friend, Elias, and how we went to that last game together, Carter's last game. And it was the sports moment that for me goes beyond sports. It was, I can't tell you the joy that I felt being in that crowd, watching Gary hit that double, and the joy on his face. I mean, it's like he was articulating exactly how I felt, the fist pump and everything. And I couldn't help but feeling like the loss at that moment, just thinking about that double like all over again.
I'm cutting you off for 1 second because I want everybody to know who this is. We're talking with Anakin Slade right now. And if you have not seen his Expos tribute video, please, please, right now, go to YouTube.com and type in Remember the Expos. The song has a lot more resonance today than it ever did.
Well, a lot of people are tweeting it and sharing it, and you know, if I've contributed a little bit to helping people, you know, relive those memories and relive the good things about who Carter was and what he represented to us as a fan base, and you know, as Montrealers, because I mean, to me, he's up there. He's up there with the Rocket, and he's up there with Jean Béliveau and you know, all the greats from the Habs. I mean, Carter is the one, he's the one from the other sport that squeaks in,
right?
You know, as a Montreal sports icon, and he always will be.
Which is something to be said when you think about the era when he came up and just how mighty the Habs in the 70s were. For Carter to be put in the same sentence as the LaFleurs and the Drydens is really something else.
Yeah, it is. And for me, he was Montreal sports. I mean, obviously I was a huge fan of both teams growing up, but I mean, there was no player for the Habs that transcended sports and became like a member of my family like Carter was, you know. Like, I mean, like I say, he was so close to me that I felt like I knew him. I felt like when he was happy, I was happy, you know, when he did something great, I had done something great, you know? And that's why I feel like a piece of me is gone today.
Yeah. I hear you, Anakin. And, thank you for your time, man. I appreciate you coming on and sharing with Montreal and with the rest of the country tonight.
Absolutely, man. Anytime. And I'll be in the claims later having a drink with my brother so we can talk old times. So.
I'm going to give you a call when I get off air.
Okay, bud.
Thank you. There he goes, Anakin Slade. We thank him for joining us on the program tonight. And you know where to find him. You just said it. Let's go back to the phones. We've got Kevin in Pointe Claire. You're on TSN 990. Good evening, Kevin.
Hi. I was lucky enough. I had a family friend that was a volunteer nurse at the Queenie. And she was working one day, and Carter was a patient there, and she knew I was a fan, and he wrote me a nice letter.
That must have been nice.
Oh, yeah, it was beautiful. Handwritten, not typed, totally handwritten and everything. I was so incredibly amazed that he took the time to do that. And when Carter got inducted into the Hall of Fame, when they had that ceremony at the Big O,
sure.
I was one of the lucky ones that got a souvenir coin.
I remember those coins. I remember trying to, I was clamoring for those coins. I did not get one of them. That was a game against the Brewers, wasn't it?
I think so. I can't remember.
I think it was a game. He gave a wonderful speech beforehand.
He gave like a, I think it was like a 10-minute speech or something. I can't remember, but it was a long speech, and it was very nice and heartfelt. And he was one of the greatest heroes of my youth, you know, him, the Hawk, The Rock, oh, all of them, you know.
Well, hopefully one day all three will be in the Hall of Fame and we can go down to Cooperstown and celebrate.
Yeah, my heart goes out to his family.
Yeah, I think all of ours does, Kevin. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go to Max in Montreal. Good evening, Max.
Good evening, Dave.
Hey, Max Harris, my old co-host, my good friend. How are you?
Well, first of all, thanks for taking my call.
Of course,
I'll be
Max.
Happy to give you a coin. I have an extra one.
Oh, good to know. Thank you.
But, I mean, this is a sad day, obviously, for baseball in Montreal, for Expos fans everywhere. What struck me more than anything else about today, like you said before, was the reaction that we saw on Twitter.
Wasn't it just something? It was, and you know, you think about the average age on Twitter, Max, and it's probably not, for the most part, people that saw Gary Carter play, or at least not through most of his career. But the legend lived, and I think everybody knew how much Gary Carter meant, not just to Montreal, but really to the whole country. And, of course, in the United States, just as much. I mean, the 86 World Series was absolutely something else, and Gary Carter was a superstar. He was one of baseball's superstars in the 1980s.
No, I mean, I totally agree with that, Dave. Those are all definitely true things, and above all, what I take from this day, seeing the outpour of emotion and reaction from Expos fans everywhere really reminds me above all of how important baseball is to all of us, how important our team was, and I think it really puts into perspective and reminds us really how communal baseball can be. I think that's what I want to share with everybody tonight and what I take away from Gary Carter.
Which is very interesting, Max. And you know what? You don't need the team here to still feel that sense of community. I think it exists. And nights like this, we're going to hear it. I think we're going to hear from a lot of people tonight throughout the evening. This is TSN Radio. I'm Dave Kaufman, and we're paying tribute to Gary Carter. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back after that.
I would be remiss if I did not say a few words in French. So here it goes. Bonjour, mesdames et messieurs, monsieur le président et invité distingué. Il me fait grand plaisir, grand honneur d'être ici midi. J'aimerais remercier toutes les partisans, les clubs des Expos, Mets, Giants and Dodgers. Mes amis, merci beaucoup.
Welcome back to TSN 990. I'm Dave Kaufman. I'm in studio with Sean Coleman, and we're going to be taking your calls for most of the evening, except for from 8 to 9 p.m. But 9 o'clock, I promise you, we'll be right back here, and we will take your calls and rebroadcast parts of the Kaufman Show tribute to Gary Carter that aired on January 23rd. We're taking calls from all of you, near and far, north and south, east and west, 1-866-896-2546. We know you're listening across the country on the internet and on Bell TV and Fibe TV. And we're going to go back to the calls right now. We've got Hussein. Good evening, Hussein.
Hi, Dave. Hi, Sean. Hi, guys. Just want to say thanks for, you know, having this forum for
us. Of course, man.
Expos fans to just pay tribute to Gary Carter. I'm a 34-year-old kid. I've been watching baseball for as long as I can remember, since I was 5 years old. I remember my first encounter with Gary Carter was, like, not watching him, but meeting him for the first time was when he just got traded to the Mets. And I met him at a Chrysler car show, and he was the nicest guy, sports figure I'd ever met in my life. He signed a big poster for everybody that was there, and it was personalized to myself. And I've met him after that a few times, being a Expo season ticket holder. And I can't say how nice this guy was. And it's just such a sad day for Expos fans, just baseball fans in general, just because I think this guy was the heart and soul of Montreal baseball. And it's just a sad day. And I just, you know, want to say thanks to the to him for just being that class guy that you know represented Montreal baseball.
That's very classy of you to say, Hussein. Thank you for the call, and it reminds me we'll play it for you after 9 o'clock. But part of our tribute to Gary Carter featured Buck 65. If you don't know him, he's a very well known Canadian hip hop artist, and he talked about he's from out east in Nova Scotia, and he talked about meeting Gary Carter at the Olympic Stadium when he was a 12-year-old kid, and I don't know what kind of hookup he had, but he ended up in the tunnel underneath, down by the dugouts, and Carter, he talked about Carter's sweetness, which isn't usually an adjective that you think is attributed to a professional athlete, but he said that he treated him with a sweetness that he wanted to carry forward with him for the rest of his life. And we'll play that for you later, but needless to say, I'm thinking a lot about my friend Buck 65 right now. I know that he's on the West Coast and he's got a show to do tonight, and I know it's going to be awful hard for him to do it. 514-790-0990. We've got time for a couple more calls before we go to the Playground Poker Show. We will be back on air at 9 o'clock, and we'll be here until you don't want us anymore. Let's go to Tyler in Chateauguay. Good evening, Tyler.
Hey, how's it going?
We're here.
Yeah, well, I know this time was coming. I mean,
yes.
My heart goes out to Gary. I mean, my heart goes out to every Expos fan that's feeling this right now. I mean, of course, I was too young at the time to see the kid play.
How old are you?
I'm 17.
Oh my goodness, you were too young. Wow. Yeah. But I bet you have. I bet your parents told you some pretty cool stuff about him, huh?
My brother as well. My brother's 27, and he has many, many fond memories of the kid. Like Anakin Slade was saying, and I was reading on his Facebook page today of his fist pump and the way he would run sideways and everything. And I've seen all the clips on YouTube. I've seen all the replays. I was lucky enough to go to Expos games, but my brother always told me the Expos from 2000 and on, when I was growing up, was not the same without having people like Andre Dawson or Gary the Kid and all of them. And, you know, I mean, I'm lucky enough to be growing up to know that all these players have had such an aspect on all of our lives, to know that his memory lives on in the city of Montreal, like the Rocket, the Flower, the Pocket Rocket, and everyone else will. My heart goes out to the Carter family right now, and I hope they're doing well and okay.
Thank you, Tyler. We appreciate your call. And we'll just mention that the Pocket Rocket is still with us. Let's go back to the phones. We've got Morrow in Laval. Good evening, Morrow.
Hey, good evening. How are you, Dave?
I'm all right, man. I'm okay. Yeah, I'm happy to be talking to all these Expos fans. It makes things feel a lot better, I'll tell you that.
For sure, considering the situation, eh?
Yeah.
I'm like one of the previous callers, I'm a 34-year-old. I remember going to the ballpark with the mom and pops, right? As a kid, and had the kid back to plate, had the big Oliver on first base and Tim Wallach on third base. And I remember just watching the kids. There's something grasped me about him. And I remember going home one night as five years old, telling my dad, I want to be a catcher. And it was just something about watching Gary gun it at second. Just, I don't know.
I got to think a disproportionate amount of catchers came out of Montreal in the late 70s and early 80s, huh, Morrow?
Well, I mean, I was never good.
No, I don't. You know what I mean. Everybody wanted to be like Gary Carter.
Oh, man. Gary was the man. I tweeted before saying, you know, he was the kid in our heart, but he was and still is the man. So, and that's how I'm going to remember him. Big number 8, big smile, curly hair.
It's all about that smile,
happy,
eh?
Happy to be on the ball field.
Morrow, thank you.
Thank you.
We appreciate
you for the time,
it. Man. We got to go to break, and we'll be back. In an hour's time, we're going to go, we're going to lighten things up for an hour, and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk and share memories and take your calls and play a bit of our tribute from a few weeks ago and tell you a couple of stories about the thank you note I got from the Carter family for that tribute and just how that package got down to Florida. It's a hell of a story. I'm Dave Kaufman, and thank you for the last hour, and we'll be back at 9 o'clock to keep it going. In the meantime, enjoy Connor McKenna and the Playground Poker Club.
I would like to share this with the people in Montreal that are not going to have a team anymore. But my heart and my ring is with them too.
This one's from the Spurs. Any slaves got the springtime blues real bad. Can't help but reminisce about the great years we had. I remember photo day 83 summer. Yeah, I still have to pick up me, my pops and my brother. I remember all-star game five man strong. 59,000 fans looking on. I remember tears at the kids' last game. Stood right behind him as the anthem played. Now my homemade signs got his autograph name on the newspaper cover, first rush with fame. I remember singing Valdery, Valderraw, 03 wild card race, last hurrah. I remember Vlad 40-40 in the call they got wrong. The game against the Braves, Cliff Floyd going long. Still missing Montreal ball 6 years on. Yeah, sometimes you don't know what you got till it's gone. This one's for Rip, Larry, Walk, and The Rock. And this one's for El Presidente, Moe, and No Cab. And this one's for Spaceman, Crow, and Vlad. And most of all, this one's for us, the fans who stuck with the team when the times were tough. Singing. Del White and Lou Frazier, Odie Nixon, FB, Eli, and Laser. I remember the magic El Perfecto, 27 men up then down like presto. I remember sun coming down on the field, no roof. I remember doing a jig on the dugout with youths. I remember just how close we came, 81 in the strike year, still feel the pain. I'll never forget that last night at the O, had both arms wrapped around my dad and my bro. It looked just like that pick we took years ago. The only thing different were the tears that flow. Yeah, most of y'all must think I love to have more, but if it were up to me, it'd feel like 94. I remember the last time I checked the box score and the last sad send-off from Dave Van Horn. This one's for the kid and the cat and the hawk. And this one's for Grit, Larry, Walk, and The Rock. And this one's for El Presidente, Moe, and No Cab. And this one's for Spaceman, Crow, and Vlad. And most of all, this one's for us, the fans who stuck with the team when the times were tough. Singing. This one's for Rick, Larry, Walk, and The Rock. And this one's for El Presidente, Moe, and No Cab. And this one's for Spaceman, Crow, and Vlad. Sometimes it's the little things that bring us together. That's why I'm an expo forever. Remember.
Let me leave you with this, Elliot. To Rusty and Beatsy. Singy and Georgie, Stoney and Frenchie, Bach and Cy and LP, Hawk, Crow and Rock, Woody, Ross the Boss and the Kid, Eli, Gully, Scotty, Charlie and Scoop, the Cat and Marquise, Walk and Moe, El Presidente and Pedro, Cliffy and Rondell, and Orlando and Michael and Brian and Jose and Vladdy. You got the picture. A wealth of wonderful memories. And I know that as Expos fans, you won't let go of that.
Sometimes it's the little things that keep us together. That's why I'm an expo forever. Truer words have never been spoken. Thank you to Anakin Slade for that wonderful song. This is Dave Kaufman, TSN 990. And I'll be here with you for the next few hours, sharing your memories on Gary Carter, talking about the kid, what he meant to you, what he meant to me, what he meant to all of us. And phone lines are open, 514-790-0990. If you're out of town, it's 1-866-896-2546. We have a couple of special guests confirmed for the show tonight. We're working on a few more. And, boy, Gary Carter sure meant a lot to this town. I'm joined by Sean Coleman and Mo Khan. And we're here to help give everybody a big hug tonight. I think that's what we all need right now. And doesn't matter that we saw this coming. Really doesn't matter that we saw this coming. It still really stings. And we've lost another piece of our expos tonight. And Gary Carter meant so much to this town and to this country. And tonight, we'll open up the phone lines and let you all share your thoughts and memories. Let's start it out, Sean. 514-790-0990, 1-866-896-2546. You can tweet at me at The Kaufman Show on Twitter. And, what the hell, let's throw out my email address. SaveTheExpos@Hotmail.com. I will read your memories if you don't want to call in. We got David on a cell. Good evening, David.
Hey, David Kaufman. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad. We shared together many, many moments. This is David Ogier. How you doing?
Oh, Dave. How are you, man?
Just when it couldn't get any worse. The way things have gone in the last couple of years there. The expo's been gone, and now Gary, and it's just tough to swallow every year, you know?
Very tough to swallow, Dave. It's been more than a couple of years. This will be the eighth season without baseball in Montreal, and I can still very vividly picture sitting on the first baseline and staring across at you on the third baseline. It feels like yesterday, man. I can remember you standing and clapping at the Gary Carter tribute night. Everybody keeps talking about the silver coins, but the Cooperstown tribute.
The coin and the autograph picture they gave you. Season ticket holders actually really treated well that year with all the little care package at the end of the year with the bobbleheads and everything.
True. True. It's funny. Not something that gets talked about a lot, but yeah, the Expo season ticket holders were, especially at the end, they were a part of something special. It was like a small club that we were all a part of.
Yeah. Well, listen, man, I love listening to you. We go back,
25 years, something like that. I haven't seen you in forever, but did I hear you had just had a kid or you just got married or something crazy like that?
That's my brother. I've been married a year and a half now.
Amazing.
Hopefully sooner than later, we'll get cracking on a kid. But, anyway, man, I always think about the times, man, we had at the Expos games, 03, even going to the airport in St. Hubert to see them come after that, after the road trip to Tyus for the wild card, and then the times of champs with against the Dodgers when Vlad hit that 1-0 home run, and you whacked me in the head by accident because we were so excited.
Off of Eric Gagne, if I remember correctly.
Eric Gagne, there you go.
I will never forget those memories, Dave. They will stay with us forever. And then
Biddle blew it. Who would have thought, eh?
Well, hey, man, it happens. It happened a lot more than it didn't happen. And, yeah. You know, it's interesting. I picture that we're going to get a lot of calls tonight about not just Gary Carter, but Expos memories. And that's more than all right by me. Gary Carter, as Mitch said on air today, really resonated with me. Gary Carter was the Expos. And Gary Carter meant so much to the city of Montreal. I keep harping back on that. Let's bring in Mo Khan. Good evening, Mo.
Good evening, Dave. I know it's a very sad time for all baseball fans.
I think it's for all Montrealers,
yeah,
really. I think
absolutely.
This transcends baseball.
And
I really do.
And I tweeted earlier when I found out, I had turned my phone off, and I tweeted earlier that I read Carter's book twice during high school because I thought it was one of the best books I ever read. Mind you, it was for a school project. But at the end of the day, though, not once but twice, because I want to understand who Carter was. And he was more than that, than a baseball player. He was a family man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he has a loving wife, loving family, and he took a lot of interest in his kids and what they became as people. And beyond baseball, I mean, he was a multi-sport star. I mean, football player as well. He had a lot going on for him when he was a younger kid. And remember Barry Foote?
Sure. Barry Foote was supposed to be the catcher of the future for the Montreal Expos.
And Carter essentially supplanted him and became the catcher for the present and future for the Expos. And I learned so much about Gary Carter during that period of time when he went from the Expos to the Mets with his West Coast swing of teams that he played for. And he even mentioned that he had stalkers in that book. And I don't know if you've ever read that book or not.
I have not, no.
But I'm sure it's a library. You can find it at any library. But
I will check it out.
It was probably one of the best books. And the front cover, actually, is him tagging out. I forget who it was in the 86 World Series in his Mets uniform, of course, because that was his greatest triumph as a baseball player.
Sure.
But there was plenty of Expos talk in that book. And I urge or recommend Expo fans out there to definitely go to your library or bookstore, whatever it is, and get a copy of that book with Gary Carter. Fantastic read.
Thank you, Mo. That's very cool. I remember you mentioning that a couple of weeks ago to me as well.
Yeah, that's right on your show on Twitter.
Yeah, you sent me a tweet during the show. We did a big Gary Carter tribute a few weeks ago on my Monday night show and had a bunch of special guests. And we're going to play parts of that for you a little later on in the evening, probably after 10 o'clock. In 5 minutes, we're going to be joined by Katie Hines. If any of you, all of you that were at the Olympic Stadium will remember Katie's infectious smile and constant optimism about the Montreal Expos. And it's going to be very difficult to talk to Kate tonight, but I think it's important for all of you across the country to hear what she has to say. You can see Katie crying at the end of Anakin Slade's YouTube video. She's in the white hat. And I'm very excited to say one of my favorite baseball voices will join us in about a half an hour's time. Somebody I grew up listening to and somebody who inspired me to do this. And I'm really looking forward to catching up with Terry Haig, former host of Play at the Plate on CIQC, the Expos post-game show. I hope you all have a special place in your heart for Terry as I do. And it's a tough day, everybody, but we're here and we're going to take your calls and we're going to talk about this and share our memories together probably until about midnight. I'm Dave Kaufman. I'm with Mo Khan and Sean Coleman, and this is TSN 990. We're paying tribute to Gary Carter tonight, and I think we will be for a long time. Welcome back. Dave Kaufman, TSN 990, with Mo Khan, Sean Coleman, and we are here taking your calls all night. 514-790-0990, 1-866-896-2546 if you're out of town. First email comes from David in Ottawa. Dave, I can't call in, man, as I'm far too emotional, and it's just been an unbelievable day. But I have a story if you want to read it. It was the summer of 1996. So I organized a stag party in Montreal for my best friend as part of the festivities. I got us a suite at the Big O to see the Spos play the Dodgers. We arrived and within an inning saw Gary in the Dodgers press box. On a napkin, I hand-wrote a note asking him to pop into our box and say hello to the groom, to be in the hope that in between innings he'd have a chance to say hello quickly. The game passed and I gave up hope. After all, this is the kid and he is a busy guy. By the eighth inning, I had to leave to go to Crescent Street and get the dinner that I had arranged set up. Took a few of the guys with me. We left the groom to be at the Big O to watch the rest of the game. We arrived at the restaurant. The table was ready. We had a drink to wait. We had another drink. I think at this point we had a fourth or fifth. Finally, an hour later, the guys showed up, and I asked them what the hell took them so long. The groom said the game ended, and there was a knock on our suite door, and it was Gary Carter, congratulating me on my upcoming marriage with your handwritten note on a napkin in his hand. The kid stayed for a few minutes and chatted with them. What a class act. Always was, and he will always be in our hearts. Thank you, David. Pretty cool, huh?
Very, very classy from Mr. Carter himself. I mean, again, I emphasize that people get this book and understand him even more because you learn a lot of Gary Carter, the boy growing up into a teenager, into an adult, into a man, and what his father instilled into him as values growing up, his family. And this does personify, pardon me, his human being as a well, kind-hearted man, taking the time out, even though, as you said before in the email, very busy person to go out there and do what he did.
Was pretty cool. And the amount of stories, Mo, since I did that tribute show, that I've heard, the personal stories, he touched so many people. And it's an honor to be on air tonight and sharing all those stories with you. 514-790-0990. 1-866-896-2546. You can tweet me at The Kaufman Show or send me an email at savetheexpos@hotmail.com. We've got a very special guest on the line right now, and I thank her from the bottom of my heart for appearing on air tonight. I know how difficult this must be. She was arguably, and I dare any of you to argue with me because I'll stand up for her, she was the biggest Expos fan we had. Was there day in, day out. I think Katie only missed a handful of games over the years at the Olympic Stadium. And it was an honor to sit near her and get to chirp at the players with her. And it was heartbreaking to watch her at that last game. And here she is, Katie Hines. Thank you so much for joining me tonight.
Hi, Dave.
How are you?
Yeah, well, picture this. I'm in my living room. I got candles lit. I'm wearing my Expos uniform top.
Oh.
55 years old. I'm sitting in my living room with my Expos uniform top, and I'm on the bottle.
Well, that's okay. You don't sound too sauced yet.
Oh, no. I think in times like this, it doesn't even affect you, you know, the alcohol. I think it just soothes you for a minute and so you can think about other things.
It's
I only found out at 5 o'clock.
Katie, everybody only found out at 5 o'clock. I think the email came through at 4:40 from Kimmy.
One of my tenants told me, you know, I'm a property manager downtown, and one of my tenants lives in Florida, and he just popped in today because he used to sit with me at the Olympic Stadium, and I was really surprised at my reaction.
What was your reaction?
Like I'd lost a brother. I'm beside myself.
Katie, you're not alone. Everybody feels that way today. That's not a surprising. Gary Carter meant so much to this town, Kate.
I had to wait in my office for 90 minutes so I could calm down and take the metro.
No.
I looked like hell. Like hell. But anyway.
That's okay, Kate.
I'm not the only one.
No, you're not. You're not. I promise you. I was a mess when I saw it. I started to shake. I honestly saw it came through in an email for me, Kate. And I subscribed to Kimmy's updates off the Caring Bridge website. And
you
know, it's been a month since she'd sent an update.
Wow.
And as soon as I saw there's a new posting on Caring Bridge, I went the other way. I thought, oh, there must be some good news for them to be reporting something. And then to just go on and see that she had written this 20 minutes after her father passed on. And you know, I mean, I don't know if, I'm sure you must remember Kimmy from being at the stadium all the time. I remember her from John Elias's baseball school.
Of course I remember her. And she also did commercials with her dad, you know,
that's
things
right,
like
the
that.
7-Up ad.
Yeah, it was so silly. Great ball player, not a great actor.
That's okay. He loved being a part of it, though. He loved the limelight and relished in it. And thank goodness for Montrealers.
You know, I don't have a great story about Gary like that wedding story. That to me is, that's so charming. But for me, it was the little things. Like, you know, remember my seat? Section 107, row SS, seat 1.
I do.
I'd be sitting there, and he would walk by. And I don't even know how he knew my name. He just would say things like, still scoring the games, eh, Katie? The tens of thousands of people he'd meet in his life, and he remembers my name.
You mean a lot, Katie. You're a pretty important part of baseball in this town.
I don't know why. There's a million other like me.
Yeah, maybe it was the red hair you stood out, or maybe because you were loud. I don't know.
I wasn't that loud.
You were pretty loud.
No, I actually, Dave, only started to lose it in the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, but that's when I remember you best from, because that's when I was sitting down there. That's when I could afford to sit in the VIPs, and I was in 113 and could hear you in 107.
Because I knew it was going to be the end soon, because I'm actually a very quiet fan and studious of the game. I don't understand what happened to me. I completely transformed into this heckler.
Well, it's because it was tough at the end.
You know, I never wore my uniform top at home. To me, that was on the road. I didn't have to prove to anybody, you know what I mean? I didn't have to wear my stuff to prove I'm an Expos fan. And then at the end, I felt the need to.
I think a lot of us did, Katie. And
I've just been watching old film footage, sitting here with a glass of wine, watching some old games. And that guy, you know, I mean, Gary played like he didn't even need a paycheck. Don't you feel that way? I know you probably just saw him at, you know, when you were 12, right?
That's right, 92. Those are my memories.
Yeah. It's going to be the 20th anniversary in September of his last at-bat.
Oh, my goodness. Where does the time go?
You telling me? I was in my 30s. Oh, my God. That was a terrific, terrific moment.
I'll tell you what, though, Katie, even when I close my eyes and picture Gary Carter, I don't picture him in 92, though. I picture him young and smiling and just full of life and effervescent and not with bad knees and not with any kind of baggage. I just think of the young Gary Carter. I think of that smiling, beaming face.
And later on in the last few years, when I think of him, I think of him at the Hall of Fame. And I think of the moment after the end of one game in 2003 where we all sat behind after, it was a Sunday afternoon, I guess, and everyone, you know, got to see his ceremony on the screen. I think of that a lot. And I've been to the Hall of Fame several times. As you know, I go yearly. And I always go and touch his plaque. Now I can touch Andre's, but I would always go...
The Scratch Billiard Bar.
My goodness, Sean. Katie, I'm very sorry about that.
Goes with the day.
Yeah, yeah.
But that always made me feel good. It's funny, right? I think of Cooperstown.
Well, it was a pretty validating moment for not only him, but for us. And at that point, nobody knew if anybody else was going to get in after him either.
And you know, let's face it. The guy put us on the map.
Yep. See, to me, Kate, what stands out more than anything is that he helped turn baseball, Montreal, into a baseball town at a time when the Montreal Canadiens were, if anybody could believe it, 10 times bigger than they are now.
Oh, God, hockey. Oh.
Oh, Katie, come on.
No, you know I worship the Montreal Canadiens, but you know baseball's 10 to me, hockey's 9.
Yeah, but look at...
You know what? Right now, like, you know, on TSN, there's hockey. And on a day like this, I'm completely offended. So many times the hockey world has offended me in my baseball life. So many times.
Well, I'll tell you, Katie, first of all, the Montreal Canadiens sent out a tweet in both languages tonight expressing their condolences on the death of Gary Carter. The Montreal Canadiens, one of my great memories of Gary Carter, is that October game against the Bruins when the banner was raised.
Yes.
That was something.
A sad moment for me. I don't even like going to the Bell Center anymore, and I love going to hockey games. But I don't want to be reminded of the worst moment of my life. Yuppie's there in the wrong, ensemble. You know, he's wearing the wrong uniform.
Yeah, but at least he's wearing a uniform, and at least kids still get to see Youppi.
I just wish he would wear pants.
Oh, it's good to know you can still chuckle today, Kate. Wow. I'm telling you, Katie, when I heard this news, you're the first person I thought of.
Yeah, I thought of you, too. I was going to write you, but I was a little bit of a mess. I had to turn the lights off at work.
I understand. I hope that you tune in tonight. We're going to be playing parts of our tribute to Gary Carter that we aired a few weeks ago.
I will.
And I'll get you a copy of it too if you're so inclined to figure out the downloading and uploading and all the rest of that.
Oh yeah,
because it's out there.
Don't do that.
It's on iTunes for all of you that are.
I don't even have a cell phone.
Oh my goodness. Well, one day we'll bring you into the modern era. And no spitballs allowed. It's the new rule.
Oh, those were the days. If you had seen what I had seen.
And you know what? Can we end this on a happy note? Can you tell everybody what made you a baseball fan? Because I love that story.
Which story is that?
65.
Oh, Sandy Koufax.
Yep.
Okay. September 9th, 1965. I was 9. September 9th is my birthday. And my grandfather was a Brooklyn Dodger fan and continued his love for the team, which I was opposed to, by the way, because I will never respect a team that has moved. And I was actually watching the game with my grandfather, and he and Sandy Koufax threw a perfect game. And that was the day I found out about Jackie Robinson and Montreal and breaking the barrier, and then that was it. I was always a little girl who liked baseball, but, you know, let's face it, you know, I mean, I was 9. But then after that, the wheel fell off. I full blown.
And thank goodness for that.
That's my grandfather. Had season tickets to Delormier Downs. And my mom, too. My mom's a French-Canadian lady who would score the games. A little girl, French girl, score and made her own scorecards. And listen to the games in English. So I come from a family of baseball fans.
And you've carried on the tradition well, dear.
I have nephews that I have made into maniacs. My nephew played at Cooperstown this past summer. 104 teams, one Canadian team, led by Denis Boucher, by the way. And they were called the Montreal All-Stars, and my nephew made it. And he played at Cooperstown.
Well, that's pretty darn cool, isn't
it? He had a proud aunt in the stands.
Oh, what I would give to see Katie Hines in the stands at a baseball game. I don't care if it's Pee-wees playing or Major League Baseball. Katie, I miss you. And
What you would give, what I would give. Let me just tell you something.
Yeah,
my,
of course.
My young friend, but very wise friend, Max, told me, because, you know, I was upset about talking. And sometimes even talking about the Expos is very hard for me.
Yep.
I turn down a lot of interviews, you know.
No,
I
know how fortunate we are right now to be speaking with you, Kate.
That's not what I mean. But I'm just saying, but, you know, Max reminded me that, you know, I'm amongst family.
That's right. We're all, and I don't think people realize it, and people talk about Habs Nation or Red Sox Nation or, you know, all these groups, and, I mean, I saw people coming off trains to go to Cooperstown to see Whitey Herzog get inducted. And I thought that was really cool that people spent 15, 17, 20 hours on a train to get to Cooperstown from St. Louis. It's different here, though. It's different here, Kate. There is this sense we all are. It's passing glances. And there was a long time where you couldn't talk about the Expos in this town. And thanks to Dawson getting into the hall, it really rekindled things here. And now you see more hats and you hear more conversation about it. And now, finally, there's discussion about maybe getting a team back one day.
Oh, I wish they'd stop that.
Well,
I find that cruel.
Well, I don't find it cruel. I love the idea of hope. Baseball is big on hope. And there's nothing wrong with hoping and wishing.
Well, that I will agree. And, you know, you're right about something. We were a community.
We still are. And nights like this show it. And when I look at the phone lines that are almost full right now, it shows me that people are still there. And maybe they're not in Montreal. They're across the country. I've gotten messages from all over today, from all over the states and Canada, Kate. And
I got one from Washington.
There you go.
How about that?
Well, you know what? It's not the people in Washington's fault that they took our team.
They're always apologizing to me.
Well, because they know how it feels.
Oh, yes, they do.
And, you know, there was some discussion bandied about before about how the city is going to pay tribute to Carter. And really what makes me sad is that he's not going to be around for whatever the next version of baseball in this city is going to be. And to me, that's one of the most heartbreaking things of this. You can talk about him going before his time. And obviously you look at the roster for that 86 Mets team, and it's shocking to think that Carter's the one that's gone.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And you know, it makes me feel mortal as well. You know, I'm 55.
Of course it does. It makes everybody feel mortal. It's the kid. And it's hard to think of the kid as being gone.
My brother Mike called me before, and you know, he goes, "I'm 57." You know, it's too soon.
I think you just hit it, Kate. It's that everybody's looking at Gary Carter and thinking of their youth and their innocence, and of themselves and their mortality. And it's a tough night.
Yeah,
it's tough night.
You know, it reminds me too. It's but the murder of our team. It's just another nail, and you know.
It sort of does feel that way. And it's going to be up to us, Katie, to keep the memories alive and to remind generations after us just how good we had it here.
Oh, God. I can't settle for anything else but Major League. You know that?
I know, Kate. I know. But in the meantime, there's some really good news coming out of Ottawa right now, and it looks like we'll be able to go see some AA baseball there within the next couple of years.
You know, I'm not a snob. I love the game. I go watch games in LaFontaine Park.
I know.
I go to the senior league in Longueuil because, you know, I live on the South Shore. I take my bike and I go to Longueuil. And I watch games in a park of people I don't even know because I love the game.
I know, Katie. I know.
But, you know, once you've had the majors.
Yeah, it's hard to go back. I could not agree more. And that's why I'm a big fan of Ottawa getting minor league baseball and of Montreal getting major league baseball one day. But tonight, we're going to share our memories of Gary Carter, and we'll talk about bringing the Expos back another day, because right now this is the this is what we want to talk about.
It's all part of it, though.
It is. I don't disagree.
It's all part of the emotion of it, you know? He's part of the thing that I love the most in the world.
Katie, he was Montreal baseball. Like you said, he put us on the map.
Yep.
And, you know? And Katie, you're another big part of Montreal baseball. And I remember the Expos wake. We had somebody call in the 7 o'clock hour who I haven't seen since the Expos wake. And I remember you standing up and saying something along the lines of "Screw you all, I'm moving to Arizona." And
I meant it at the time.
I know you did, and I'm so happy that you stayed because
I did mean it. I mean it.
I know you did. I know you did.
But I was applying for a job at Major League Baseball, and just to tell you how mean-spirited it all was, they said I didn't have a hope in hell because I was from Montreal.
Well, you know what? There are a lot of Montrealers covering Major League Baseball right now, working in Major League Baseball right now. They're behind the scenes. They're, in the case of the Yankees, behind the plate. And there might not be Expos, but it lives on. And it lives on in our memories, and so will the kid.
I'm wearing my uniform top to work tomorrow.
Good. You're not the first person to tell me that they're going to be rocking their Expo stuff tomorrow. I hope that we see baby blue across this city.
Oh, God, yeah. The powder blue?
Katie, got to let you go, but I want to thank you so much for your time tonight.
Wonderful.
And we'll catch up soon.
Okay.
I'll see you at Hurley's, okay?
Sure.
Thank you, Kate.
I'll be drowning my sorrows tomorrow.
I'll try and come down. Katie Hines, the queen of the Big O, joining us tonight on TSN 990 to talk about Gary Carter. Just got a message from Matthew Ross. Go to the Expos Nation page on Facebook and leave your memories there. I know they passed 130,000 fans the other day, and no better place to go and leave your memories. We're taking calls all night, 514-790-0990. send me a tweet at The Kaufman Show or an email, savetheexpos@hotmail.com. We're paying tribute to Gary Carter tonight, and we'll be back in about, well, we'll be back after the break, but former Expos color man Terry Haig will be with us afterwards. This is Dave Kaufman. I'm with Mo Khan and Sean Coleman. We'll be back.
Better players soon assembled, and the Expos then resembled a team that had a chance to reach the top. Rogers, Perez, Woody Fryman, Ellis. Soon there was no telling where Montreal would stop. I'm talking baseball. Gullickson and Dawson, Expo baseball. Gary Carter's awesome. Cromartie, Scott, and Rodney all can play. Reardon coming in to save the day. Talking baseball. Expos all the way.
I would be remiss if I did not say a few words in French. So here it goes. Bonjour, mesdames et messieurs, monsieur président et invité distingué. Il me fait grand plaisir, grand honneur d'être ici midi. J'aimerais remercier toutes les partisans, les clubs des Expos, Mets, Giants and Dodgers. Mes amis, merci beaucoup.
Baseball. Gary Carter's awesome. Cromartie, Scott, and Rodney all can play. Reardon coming in to save the day. Talking baseball. Expos all the way. When you're talking Expo baseball, Bacabella and Gene Monk. No-hitter Stoneman, he threw two. Duke and Dave up in the booth. Carl and Dawson, rookies of the year. Now Gary's time is here.
That line kills me right now. It's TSN 990. We're paying tribute to Gary Carter tonight. Gary Carter passed away at 10 past 4 this afternoon in Florida. And it's starting to resonate across not just Montreal, but the whole country. Okay, starting to get some emails and phone calls. And please, we've got a few lines open, 514-790-0990. We're going to be joined by Terry Haig in a few minutes. Carlos Eugenio on Twitter. Listening, I'm 51 years old. Kids of this generation will never understand the love and joy the Expos gave us. Thanks, Gary. Well, Carlos, I'm 31. And I got to feel it. And I know that my buddy Max is, 22? And he was there too. A lot of people felt it. I know that it was a much bigger deal back then when the Expos were outdrawing most of the other clubs in the National League. But I think the kids of this generation, if I'm going to pretend I'm an adult, which is hard, I consider myself a kid, but I think what I've gathered from this is a lot of kids hear about how wonderful he was from their parents and heard about the good old days. And if anything, it makes those kids wish for the good old days. Sean?
If I can speak as a representative, yeah, of my generation.
Please do.
I was too young to see Gary Carter play. I've only heard myths. I've seen YouTube clips. Certainly the double to end his final play, the double over Andre Dawson's head, would send shivers down my spine, even though I never saw it happen.
Well, there you go.
But the biggest thing, I think, for someone who didn't grow up in the Expos fever of the early 90s, you know, it's not so much about Gary Carter, but more about the Expos support group and see how much everyone cares about the Expos, seeing everyone, how affected they were. And I tweeted this earlier tonight saying, it's surprising to me and constantly amazes me to see how much the Expos and their star players were a key part of everyone's lives and how they touched everyone professionally, personally. It's just, it constantly astounds me.
There was a closeness between the Expos and the community that I never saw with the Canadians in the community. And I don't know if it was because there were less fans, less people to reach out to. I really don't know. but it was wonderful. And like Dave Van Horn says, you know, if you know what I'm talking about, then you get the picture. Let's go to the phones. We got Michael in Montreal. Good evening, Michael.
Yeah, good evening, guys.
How are you?
Not pretty good. It's a funny night tonight, you know. I'm 54, and I guess I'm a generation older than you guys. But I mean, and I'm kind of a cynical SOB as well, right? But I don't know. Tonight, I'm not so cynical, and a lot of memories come back. I could tell you one quick story, if you don't mind.
Of course, that's what we're here for tonight.
By the way, they used to call the Expos Nos Amours.
Yes, yes. Some of us still do.
For a reason, though. For a reason, because when I was a kid, I was going to Jarry Park. It's kind of like, I don't know if any of you have children, but it's like having a kid who's, you know, a year, two, 3 years old. It's unconditional love. They love you just for showing up. That's how much we love the Expos. Didn't matter that they lost. I think there was one season they lost 110 games. It didn't matter. We just love them because we had Major League Baseball. But no, the story I want to relate to you is, like I say, I'm kind of cynical. I'm not overly, you know, patriotic, or, you know, I mean, I'd rather travel in the States than travel in Canada. And the year was 1982, 83. It was the year where the All-Star Game was in Montreal. Maybe one of you guys could help me out with that, but it was
82,
and I was camping in South Carolina, surrounded by Americans, and some guy had a long extension cord with a TV watching the All-Star Game, because the All-Star Game was a ritual, and it was from Montreal, and I've never felt more proud of my city ever in my life. And I mean, I remember, you know, the Olympics and all the Stanley Cup parades and the Alouettes and you know, the great Canadians teams. But just watching that All-Star Game with all those Expos from my city was something special. And it's one of those little memories that are just etched into your memory forever. Just remember, you know, that moment in time.
I'm going to remember that point when somebody tells me that All-Star Games are irrelevant.
No, they're not. I mean, you know, back then too, you know, you didn't have like wall-to-wall TV like today, so and access. So it was kind of special to see all the stars. But anyway, great show, guys. And, you know, I think one of you said it the best. You know, the Expos will never die, because they'll always be alive in our hearts and our minds. And
thank God for that, eh?
Carry on, boys.
Have a good night. Thank you, Michael. Got an email right here from Mr. G. Bishop. Just tuned in while driving. Gary was special in many ways. Having Terry Haag on will help bring back even more memories. When I hear Terry's voice, it instantly takes me back to those final Expos years. Oh, me too. And looking forward to it. Let's take one more call, Sean, before we've got... Oh, it's my buddy George in St. Lazare. Hi, George.
Hey, Dave. How's it going?
It's going, man. It's I appreciated the kind texts that you sent me today.
Well, you know, I'll tell you one thing. This is a subject that really touches home with me. First of all, you know that I'm a big baseball fan, a big Expo fan. And I lost my dad to cancer when he was 53 years old, so that doubly hurts for me. So, because I know the experience of having to lose a loved one, and I know that what will keep you going and what will make the future a little bit easier is the pleasant thoughts and the good memories. And that's what kept me going with my dad all these years, is that I always had good memories of him, and we've got the best memories from Gary, because I don't think there's anybody out there who can really say anything negative about the kid.
No.
That's for sure. The only other thing that I wanted to say is that when I heard the news of Gary being ill, you know, I don't usually write a blog, but I decided that I was going to write a couple of words, and I wanted to share them with you. And first of all, I grew up during an era, because I'm 55 years old now, so I understand exactly what everybody talking about, where you feel a little bit of your mortality or immortality at risk when you hear somebody dying that's nearly the same age as you.
Mm-hmm.
But I grew up in the 70s during a really great time, you know, when the Canadians were winning Stanley Cups and the Expos were starting to become contenders and Alouettes were winning the Grey Cups. And I wrote in my blog that if you could name an iconic athlete of that era, of course Guy Lafleur would be on the top of most lists. Gary Carter would be the name that would be a close second. The kid, as he was dubbed by the late Ted Thieven, had the charisma and the talent to match the flower on the diamond. Gary Carter's Expos were drawing 2 million fans plus at the Olympic Stadium. Charles Bronson owned the team on paper, but make no mistake, it was Gary's team. Whether it was throwing out a runner at second base, getting a clutch hit to win a game, running to first base on a walk, Gary did everything he could to win a game. The day he got traded to the Mets was a sad day, for Gary Carter was a true baseball Hall of Famer, and most importantly, a Montreal superstar. And today, I pay my respects to Gary Carter. Rest in peace, Gary, and I wish all the best to you and family. Thank you.
George, thank you so much for your beautiful words. We appreciate it, and wish you a great evening. Lisa Lee on Facebook, PR guru Lisa Lee, just wrote, talking about losing Gary Carter makes me think of that spring and rushing home each day from school to watch the series with my mom. Kind of thing that makes me wish I was a little bit older. We've got an email from Rick Springetti, Rick1042 on Twitter, McKean's Hockey. Hi, Dave. Like many, Gary Carter was an important figure to me growing up as a big Expos fan. Simply put, he was everything that a pro athlete should be. He played hard, played well. But most importantly, he obviously loved the game and showed great respect for his fans. When I finally got an opportunity to meet him, he made me feel like he was sincerely happy to talk to me. The few more moments I spent with him are one of the greatest memories of my life. To Gary Carter, thank you very much, kid. You meant more to your fans than you will ever know. Let's go back to the phones. Dave and Broussard. Good evening, Dave. Dave, you there? Hi, Dave. We're here.
Oh, sorry about that.
That's okay.
Yeah, it was definitely a sad moment when I found out through Facebook. Somebody posted it, and you know, we knew. I remember reading an article, his daughter, in the Gazette. Sorry, it's kind of choked up. But
Dave, come on, man. We're all choked up. It's okay. Just breathe and take your time, and we're here. It's all good, man.
Yeah, there was a story about his daughter and how... how he was stumbling around Christmas time and all that stuff. It was a sad moment. But I remember as a kid, I was fortunate enough to catch a home run by Ron LaFleur, you remember?
Sure.
And had the opportunity to get boys to sign the autograph. Every second game I'd go to, I'd be just sitting in the bleachers and meeting some of the players. And then one day, it was Gary Carter, Larry Parrish, and Ellis Valentine coming out, and all three of them, you know, I mean, they all had struggles in life and all that stuff, especially Ellis Valentine, but they were all very kind. But it was Gary Carter, for God's sakes, it's unbelievable. He, the boys, Larry Parrish and Ellis Valentine, were telling him, let's go, we got to go. But he wouldn't stop signing autographs until he got sure that every kid had his signature and they got to talk to the people. It was just a fabulous moment. And I hope... I'm pretty confident that on Sunday, the Habs will do something to honor him at the Bell Center.
I believe that I just read on Twitter that they're doing something on Saturday, actually. Is there a game there? I know there's a Sunday night game against Jersey. Is there a Saturday game as well?
No, because Friday they're playing Buffalo, so it's got to be Sunday.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, so then whatever that...
Yeah.
Okay, yes. I'm seeing right now Sasha Gwindy on Twitter. They already announced it will be on Sunday.
Oh, cool.
Some sort of moment of silence or something.
Oh, cool.
But you know what? Whatever it is, it's not enough. It's about what we do going forward as citizens of Earth. And I know that sounds super cheesy, but
no. I mean,
he was a good guy. Like
he
wasn't just a baseball player.
No.
And he established ties in this community. And he cared, and he helped with the less fortunate and with the sick. I remember listening to Randy Tiemann's show, I don't know, maybe about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, the day that he had Tommy Hutton on. And Tommy Hutton was did yeoman's work taking care of Gary Carter at the end. They lived near each other. Tommy, of course, was on the bus squad on those teams back in the day.
Yeah.
And he would take Gary to rehab, and he was talking to Tiemann about how he went over there the day before, and they watched Caddyshack just to try and get their minds off it.
Mm.
And then the callers started calling, and somebody called in who was a he said that he was an instructor at Grand Slam Baseball School, which means I must know who he was from 20 years ago, but I wasn't sure who exactly it was. And he was talking about Carter just going the extra mile for a kid who was sick with cancer. And, you know, the invite into the clubhouse and the here's a glove and here's a bat and here's another glove and here's another bat. And just all the time in the world. And I go back, we're going to be airing it a little later. But we did a tribute a few weeks ago. And one of the things that really stuck with me was a musician by the name of Buck 65, who his real name is Rich Terfry.
He's doing a concert or something tonight.
I think he's in Portland, Oregon tonight. Mm. And, you know, I don't want to have him on. Honestly, I know how much Gary Carter means to him, and we'll replay that interview, but he talks about Carter's sweetness. Mm. And
for sure,
that is something that I think more men need to develop as a trait. You don't often hear of athletes or really men in general being referred to as sweet.
Exactly. Yeah.
And what a wonderfully admirable trait for a man to have.
For sure. I have just one more little story.
Go ahead.
He wasn't playing at the time, and there was some kind of a road show they were doing. They were touring around the city. And that would be in late 90s, I believe. Before the strike, baseball strike, he was touring with some of the ball players of the Expos, and he came in here in Brossard, and with the church. Anyways, there was some sessions and drills and things that we had five drills on the field, and each ball player was there talking. And we had a drill where it was they were teaching the kids how to standing in the batter's box. And out of the blue, this little kid, must have been 12 years old, raises his hand, you know. So they're explaining. Gary's there, and I can't remember who the other fellow was, the actual player that was playing. And so they're showing the kids how to stand in the batter's box. And this little kid raises his hand, and he says, sir. and he says, why you guys want to go on strike? Okay. This is, again, just before the baseball strike.
Right.
And They literally stopped the drill. He sat down on the ground with the kids level and started talking to them. He says, baseball, it's unfortunate now, is a big business. It's going on about the whole story. He says, I can guarantee you that the majority of the ball players don't want to go on strike. And he's explaining, you know, he says, it's just, you know, agents and the stuff. But he's telling that the true ball player, his job, he says, think about it. His job is to play a sport. Who would love to do that as a career? You know, I mean, you know, not to get dressed up. No kidding. He says, our job is to have fun and play. And says, that's what it's all about. He says, we don't want to go on strike. Anyways, the whole thing was just amazing how nobody talked and just listened to the guys. You know, I mean, they went through experience and all that stuff. But just the way he was talking with the kids, like, wow, it was just fabulous. Hmm. Yeah, just a lot of good memories,
and we'll share them all, and we'll continue to remember them.
Yeah, somebody mentioned tonight, and I saw it already flashing on Facebook. It'd be a great thing, to, you know. Most businesses, casual day or jeans days on Friday, you know, wear something at the Expo and remember Gary Carter.
You know what? Thanks. I think everybody that's listening should go out there and wear something Expos tomorrow.
Absolutely.
And when when their bosses complain, send them to me.
I think they'll realize right away.
Tell them to call me. I'll send me an email at savetheexpos@hotmail.com, and I will personally write permission slips for everybody.
Good showing.
Thank you for your call, Dave. Bye. Thank you very much. Jerry and Pierrefonds, welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi. Good evening.
Good evening.
I have a Gary Carter memory that I'd like to share.
Please.
I'm 52 years old. Back in the mid-70s, when I was a teenager, my dad had a part-time job at Jerry Park. He used to work as a security guard and for Expo home games. And oftentimes, he would get assigned to guard the Expo's clubhouse.
Lucky guy.
Yeah. And being a huge baseball fan myself, I was thrilled by that. And in 1974, Gary Carter's first year with the Expos, he played about nine games. my dad got me a job at Jarry Park working in the snack bar. And I happened to be able to, when it was slow, watch ball games from the stands. And then after after games, I would go and meet my dad, wait for him to finish his job outside the clubhouse, and we'd go home. So I'd get the opportunity to see ball players walking in and out, and Gary Carter being one of them. And what I noticed about him was, you know, he was very genteel, I guess. He was very open to people. He would always say, "Hi, Ray," to my father, and they would acknowledge each other. And then in 1975, and then in later years, my dad would come home after work, often talk about Gary, talk about Sandy, and he would talk as if he knew them. And he would talk about the fact that Gary would talk to him about religion. As you know, Gary Carter had a very strong faith.
Yes.
And my dad really didn't, but it was interesting just to hear him. And when he would talk about Gary and would talk about Gary's faith, my dad would light up.
It's amazing how that works, eh? I mean, I'll tell you, I'm not at all religious, but, you know, in the correspondences that I've had with Kimmy, his daughter, over the last month, and just conversations on air, I keep going back to, I'm praying for Gary Carter. And the amount of time and effort that people actually spent and sat down meditating and praying about Gary Carter when it's just an incredibly powerful moment, an incredibly powerful thing. I think we all hoped that we could pray him better, and unfortunately we couldn't.
Yeah, yeah, well said.
No regrets about doing it, though.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm still just as faithful or faithless as I was before, but it felt important. It felt like the right thing to do, especially considering how much comfort religion must have given Gary Carter in the last 6-8 months. I mean, let alone for his entire life. But you know that he relied heavily on his faith right now. And,
yeah,
and that's about it. Sean, let's go play this. Thank you for the call. We're going to play CBC, The National.
And he wrote history in that new chapter, taking home the biggest prize in baseball, the World Series in 1986.
I've saved this right ring finger for that World Series ring.
But after 8 years away, Montreal fans welcomed him back.
The kid is back, yes, thank you.
Catching his last season with the Expos before bidding Major League Baseball farewell. He went on to manage minor league and college teams, always with his trademark passion for the game. Then came the struggle with brain tumors, a fight he took on with his wife of more than 35 years and his children by his side. In 2003, he became the first Expo inducted in the Hall of Fame.
I always, for the rest of my life and many years to come, a Montreal Expo.
The Expos are long gone from Montreal, but the legacy of Carter's love affair with fans here lives on in many hearts. Lisa.
Some great memories. Geneviève Beauchemin.
Thank you. That was not CBC. That was CTV News. That was Geneviève Beauchemin. And we thank them for that. I don't know why I screwed that up. But hey, tough day, and we're all getting there. Sean, if you could throw it over to The National for me, CBC The National. I want to check that out as well. We are taking your calls until midnight. I will be joined by Terry Haig in a few minutes. Terry, let's take a commercial break and let's get Terry on the phone. This is TSN Radio 990, and we're paying tribute to Gary Carter tonight. We're going to take your calls. 514-790-0990, 1-866-896-2546. You can tweet at me at The Kaufman Show. Send me an email, savetheexpos@hotmail.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back to TSN 990's coverage of the passing of Gary Carter. I'm Dave Kaufman. I'm joined in studio by Sean Coleman and Mo Khan. And we're taking your calls and tweets and emails tonight. And we're sharing our love for the kid. Going to bring in our next guest. I've said it before on air and I'll say it again. He's one of the reasons that I'm sitting here all the nights sitting up listening to Terry Haig's Play at the Plate. I wish I had the version of Sunny on the Sunny Side of the Street that you used to play, but we can just pretend that it's playing and everybody who knows the song knows how good it used to make us all feel. It was the he was the post-game show. He was the color commentator. And I'm honored to call him a friend. It's Terry Haig. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Dave. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Tough day, Terry.
It's a very tough day. This it hit me a lot harder than I thought it would. I mean, you saw those pictures of him lately, and it just breaks your heart. And what he went through was just was wretched.
Yeah.
And yet, I'm sure. I mean, every time I read what he was saying and what his daughter Kimmy was saying, you never heard him complain. And I think that he was the guy. You know, he was the guy that we find when the franchise was young and we were all young, and we finally said, "Hey, we can get one of these ball players on our side." Because we used to go to Jerry Park to see who was coming into town, you know, and to see the visiting players. But Gary made us realize day to day just what a star ball player can be, and he was—he really was a great ball player.
Hmm.
I think.
Well, I don't think you're alone in those thoughts. I think the Hall of Fame validates that.
Yeah, I mean, what an interesting guy. I was just like I didn't cover the team when he was there. I only got to meet him when he came back for that one final season in '92, and he was like a really sweet guy. You know, I mean, his teammates called him Lights because, you know, he was always doing interviews. And there was a certain amount of jealousy on their part. But there was not a mean bone in Gary Carter's body. You know, he was like a big, big, beautiful, friendly dog, you know. he really was. I mean, he was, to some degree, I think he was a bit of a people pleaser because he did grow up without a mom. And so I don't know what that had a profound effect on him, obviously, as it would any of us.
Sure.
And, you know, he perhaps bent over backwards to try to be too nice when he wasn't always, when he probably didn't feel like it, to please people. But so what? I mean, the fact of the matter is he was the kid, you know, and we were the kids. And we'd only had one guy before. Staub was there. Rusty Staub was there the first 3 years. And then Gary came. And then Dawson came. And then Parrish was there, I think, a year before. I mean, that was a good ball club. That never, you know, that 79, we lost by one game to the Pirates. 80, well, we don't want to talk about that. I mean, I still remember Steve Carlton out there the Saturday before the season ended, beating the Expos in 79, costing the Expos a chance to win the fight. But they were a really good ball club, Ellis Valentine. But the best ball player of them all was Carter.
And he was also such an ambassador for Montreal. He put this city, he made people notice this city from outside of this city. And
that's true. Yeah, you're right.
You know, I know that there's obviously a million and one people who would argue that the hockey team did that. But the Expos reached a whole different level of people and consciousness. Just to be associated with Major League Baseball and then to have a legitimate star like Gary Carter playing for the team. People
right.
knew
yeah.
who what Montreal was.
Mm-hmm.
Gary Carter put Montreal on the map.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, it's. I mean, for that whole other audience, because it's hard for us to believe here, but not everybody follows hockey in
right.
the United States, you know. But baseball. I mean, don't forget, baseball in New York is like hockey is here.
Sure.
I remember when I went back home and saw there was a guy in the guy that ran the elevator in my old apartment building in New York, and he wasn't a baseball fan at all. But he when I went and saw him, he said, "Hey, what's the matter with your bullpen?" You know, and it was amazing to me. I said, you don't even follow baseball. So, Gary belongs to New York too, though.
Oh, he was the king of New York.
Yep.
There's no doubt about that. He was bigger than any Yankee that was playing at that time.
You think it was the base hit in 86?
How could it not be?
Yeah.
Two outs.
Yeah.
And I think, Terry, that's what everybody was thinking was going to happen here, that Carter had two outs and it was the bottom of the ninth and he was going to rally. And I'll tell you, when I saw the email today from Kimmy, I don't know why, but I guess I'm just a cockeyed optimist. I thought it was good news. And then I read it and boy, what a courageous girl Kimmy mm-hmm. Blomers is. Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I cannot imagine what she has gone through and to have to deal with it so in such a public way. And she didn't have to. She chose to. By updating that site 60-odd times over the last year, she brought all of us right into his struggles and the occasional steps forward that gave everybody hope.
Yeah. Yeah. She. Well, what a sad day. A big part of us now. We were also innocent in 1975 with mm-hmm. Big League Baseball and John McCown, Montefusco, and the rest of these people. Didn't he share the Rookie of the Year with Montefusco?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Well before my time, Terry.
Yeah, I was middle-aged at that point.
My memories of Carter are from 92.
Well, what a way to go. What a way to go out. And I remember Mike Morgan. I remember interviewing Mike Morgan afterwards because... It wasn't exactly like Duguay putting it right into Bernie Parent's pads there in the classic, right? But there was an unwritten law that in that situation you can only throw fastballs. And Morgan was about 38 or 39 years old at that point himself, and I think he'd played with at least three dozen different major league teams, you know. And he stuck with it, and he threw Carter nothing but fastballs, and Carter rose to the occasion. And, I mean, and then Laker going out to run for him. I mean, I don't think any of us are ever going to forget that. I mean, you got to say one thing for Carter, boy. He could really rise to the occasion.
Yeah, the guy knew how to take advantage of a moment. That's absolutely true, Terry.
Yeah, I mean, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
To our benefit.
Well, yeah, to our benefit.
Yeah, you know, everybody talks about, you mentioned it before, the lights and that he loved the spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
To our benefit.
Yeah, I mean, and as I say, there wasn't, that whole thing with the Hall of Fame, he was just trying to please everybody, you know, but the fact of the matter is, as I said before, there wasn't a mean bone in Carter's body. I mean, and what an athlete. I believe he was the first team all-American quarterback his senior year in high school in football. I mean, he was a phenomenal athlete. And the thing about catching is, because I learned an incredible amount from the guy, one of the guys he was traded with was Mike Fitzgerald. And one thing I really, if you want to know what's going on a baseball team, you make friends with the catchers because they know more than anything. And Fitzy was a terrific catcher. But when you can get the hitting on top of all that a catcher does, because don't forget, you're getting a catcher, first of all, to be a catcher.
Right.
And then to add hitting on top of it, which is why those guys go to the Hall of Fame. I mean, it's really tough. I mean, catchers really have a rough time because they're playing banged up the whole year. They never got an infield. No catcher's ever gotten an infield hit, I don't think. You know, and so for them to hit, for Carter to for any catcher to hit is remarkable to me. And then to do it as well as Carter and Bench did, it's phenomenal.
How about this one, Terry? In Carter's first year in New York, he hit 32 home runs and struck out 50 times.
Really?
Yeah. And it's never has not been done for the Mets before or since.
Really?
Just came across that one on Twitter.
Wow. Wow. Chapeau to Gary Carter, man. You know, He showed us all. He showed us what a, I mean, Rusty Staub was a good ball player, but Carter was a great ball player. And he played for us, man.
I'll tell you what I've taken from the last the tributes have been pouring in for a month now, Terry. And mm-hmm. what I've taken is that Gary Carter was a hell of a ball player.
Mm-hmm.
And for as good a ball player as he was 10 times the human being.
He really was, you know. I mean, there was he created, I think he was one of those guys that was like, one of those guys that, like, you're in high school, right? And he's president of the class, and he's quarterback of the football team, and he's the star basketball. And there's a certain amount of resentment that builds up about that guy because you think, can't that guy do anything wrong, you know?
But he was also, if you're going to use the high school analogy, he'd give time to the dweebs and the geeks.
Listen, I'm telling you, the guy was a great guy. He was like a totally great guy. And I didn't know him until 92 when I was covering the team. I was just a fan like everybody else. But he was like, and he got, what a smile. I mean, what a smile he had, man. He was like a, I mean, he, to some degree, there was a, you know, I mean, when they called him the kid, he did remain the kid. Now, you can say, well, that's arrested development, man. But he was a ball player.
Right.
You know, that's what he did. He was a ball player, and he was the ultimate sort of ball player. And I guess, I mean, you can say Andre Dawson or Carter, they were the, by far the, well, Raines too. I mean, it's about time Raines got some recognition.
Yes, it is.
For the Hall of Fame. I mean, that's ridiculous. Look up what he hit from the seventh inning on in clutch situations, you know. But Raines, because he got stuck in Montreal all those years. I mean, if Raines had played his whole career in New York, he'd be in the Hall of Fame right now. And so that's why I'm glad Gary got to go to New York and start that rally.
For sure. For sure. I don't think that anybody here, at least now, 25 years later, holds any ill will towards Gary Carter. He didn't, you know, he didn't necessarily want to go. The circumstances demanded it.
Well, the circumstances demanded it. Mr. Brofman
didn't want to pay.
Yeah, exactly.
And to his credit, Brofman said that that's his biggest regret.
Oh, he did say that?
Yeah, Mitch mentioned it earlier.
Okay, well, thank God for that.
Yeah.
I mean, mind you, we got some pretty good ball players. Well, we got two really good ball players. Hubie was a terrific player, and Fitzy was a terrific catcher. I mean, not in Carter's league, but and who else did we get? Winningham and Floyd Yeomans. So, that was probably the end of innocence, wasn't it?
Yeah, I would say that for people that understood at the time the economics of baseball, I think they saw that the writing was on the wall. And it took 20 years for it to happen. But I'll tell you, sitting around my dinner tables growing up, my dad always told me to prepare for the Expos to leave town. He never sugarcoated it for me for a second from when I was a little kid.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess he knew people in the know, and especially, well, from when Brofman sold the team to Claude Brochu,
mm-hmm.
he literally said to me, do not get too attached to this. And, well, you know me, I'm rebellious, so I didn't listen to him, and I made it the most important thing in my life and dealt with the fallout afterwards. But, you know, back to Carter, yeah, that was kind of the beginning of the end for baseball in Montreal here.
Yeah.
And it's weird to think of it that way because at the time it was only a few years removed from the greatest moment in the history of the franchise.
Are you talking about Wallace Johnson's triple?
No, I'm talking about Blue Monday.
Before Blue Monday,
that's right.
It was Wallace Johnson's triple.
Everything in advance of the rainout, I'd say, was probably looking pretty good.
Those three Septembers. Those three Septembers in 79, 80, and 81.
I can't even imagine, Terry.
Extraordinary. I mean, oh, man. Oh, I don't care. I'm not even going to get started. I mean, that was heartbreaking. That was totally heartbreaking. And look, let's remember one thing about baseball, and it's what Mr. Alou used to say. And, you know, he would say, people say that Montrealers are not good baseball fans. He said that's the exact opposite. He said the reason they don't come to the games is because they are great baseball fans, and they won't be sold a bill of goods.
Yep.
And I thought that was right on, as usual, from Felipe. So for younger people, don't believe. I mean, how? What year did you first start go to games? Start going to games?
I was a little kid. When I was a little kid, my family lived on Clark and Sherbrooke in Westmount.
Okay.
And my dad used to take me to Shea Nick's, just up the street from where we are right now,
mm-hmm.
for breakfast in the mornings. And I met an old gentleman who used to sit there by himself at breakfast in the mornings. And one weekend, he hands me a pair of tickets, says, go with your dad, have a good time. The next weekend, he does the same thing. I think this was 86, 87. My memories of it are very vague.
Okay.
Needless to say, I can thank John McHale for getting me into baseball.
That was him?
Yeah. John McHale cool. used to sit at Shea Nick's every morning by himself and have breakfast before going to work.
Well, he could afford it.
I guess so.
It's between Nick's and Beauty's, eh?
Yeah.
Not exactly cheap breakfast.
Very true.
Oh, man.
But, I mean, my first vivid memories, I have very vivid memories of Langston and the hype surrounding Mark Langston coming to Montreal.
Okay.
And when I really, really, really got into it,
yeah.
it was when you were doing the post-game shows.
Boy, that was a really magical summer, too.
Your big fight with Brian Barnes on air.
Oh, yeah.
About, well.
Well, no, it was more, well.
It was a debate. Let's put it that
way.
Well,
I mean, yeah, I thought I got out of that, actually. Because Melnick. You know, stirring it up there.
I remember you having a get-together at the Hard Rock Cafe one night with Lou Frazier there.
Oh, what a great guy Lou Frazier was.
And I came down and was, I couldn't have been more than 12 or 13, and you made me feel like part of the crew.
Well, but that, baseball, you know, baseball... The thing that because I started covering baseball in 88, which is, did we get Langston in 88 or 89? I forget. But
89.
89, okay. So 88 was when I got the job at the Daily News. And I was prepared to, I had been led to believe that ball players were a bunch of idiot, wise, you know, like snooty, there's a word you don't hear very often, but arrogant, bunch of arrogant guys. And I found the exact opposite to be true. That was a team of Wallach and Hubie and Fitzgerald and a whole bunch of other guys and Dennis Martinez, all those guys, Bryn Smith and Wallace. And they were the exact opposite. There wasn't an arrogant guy in that whole group. They were really humble guys. And when you think about it, it's a pretty humbling game. Like, let's face it, you're only if you're really great, you're only successful 3.5 times out of 10.
That's right. That's right. There's a famous Ted Williams quote about that, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. So it was you're not going wrong. Just to anybody that follows baseball, you're not going wrong by supporting these guys. I don't think. I think they are like. I think that's one of the things we showed on Play at the Plate.
I think so, too. You absolutely. I mean, Larry Walker, too.
Walker. what a funny guy. Eh? What a hilarious man.
Terry, for me, you're such a huge part of my Montreal baseball experience, and it was very important to have you on tonight and get your thoughts on Gary Carter.
Well, way to go, Dave. And it's, boy, way to go, man.
Huh.
Lash ball.
I won't. I promise, Terry.
Okay, and
please come in studio with us any Monday night. I would love to pick up where we left off here and have Montreal and guys that aren't too young to have heard you back then get to appreciate what I got to appreciate.
Thanks, Dave. It's a total treat for me.
Cheers, Terry.
Okay, man.
All the best.
Okay.
Oh, nice music, Sean. Thank you. We turn that up a bit. We're paying tribute to Gary Carter tonight. The world has lost a good man. I'm Dave Kaufman. I'm with Mo Khan and Sean Coleman, and this is TSN Radio 990. You can listen to us on the internet at tsn.ca/Montreal. And we're going to take a little break, Sean. Okay, we're going to take a little break. We'll be with you till midnight. Play some of my Gary Carter tribute, which you can hear in full on the kaufmanshow.podbean.com or upload off iTunes to your devices. But we're going to keep this going here, and we want to hear from you. Let's fill up those phone lines again. 514-790-0990, 1-866-896-2546. By all means, shoot me an email, savetheexpos@hotmail.com, or a tweet at The Kaufman Show. I have a feeling it's going to be an email, though. Hard to express your feelings in 140 characters. We'll be back.
Is only I'm a Gideon.
One love.
So when the man comes, there will be no doom.
One song.
Have pity on those whose chances grow ten. There ain't no hiding place from the Father of creation. Yeah, yeah.
One love.
Well, to my immediate family, there is so much to say and not enough time to say it. So the one thing I remember the most is how much the kids and Sandy would be at all the games. You know, I never felt comfortable or relaxed until I saw their happy faces sitting in the stands behind home plate. What a blessing I truly have had from my wife and my kids to be right there with me through it all. After each game, I would always be the last player to leave the clubhouse. It still amazes me to look back and think about the many hours my family waited for me without complaining. It was funny because if I had a good game or if the team won, the kids knew the car ride home would be a heck of a lot more fun. To my three precious children, I love you all very, very much, and I'm so proud of each and every one of you. And for all that you have done, I'm so thankful that each one of you have chosen to walk with the Lord.
Welcome back. I'm Dave Kaufman. I'm with Sean Coleman and Mo Khan, and we're talking Gary Carter, and we're sharing memories with all of you, and we're going to go right back to the phones. Still have a couple of lines free. Let's fill them up, people. 514-790-0990, 1-866-896-2546. If you're out of town, it might as well be on my boss's dime and not on yours. Sean Coleman liked that. Let's go to Elias Makos. Elias was one of the main PR guys for the Montreal Expos, and I can say that you run their Twitter account, can I, Elias?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
Elias
sure.
runs the Montreal Expos official Twitter account, which really is one of the few links left. And goodness, do we appreciate that. Good evening, Elias.
Hey, good evening.
I'd say how are you, but I think I know the answer.
Yeah, you know, I mean, listen, it's been a pretty sad evening. And, you know, if there's anything that's actually made this evening much better than it could be, it's, you know, what we've heard on the radio and just the outpouring everywhere. That we've seen, you know, I mean, radio and TV and in print, you know, a tribute that's well deserved for you know, the biggest superstar in Expos history, you know, and you know, it goes back to that smile. And for me, you know, one of my earliest memories is Gary Carter's last game, earliest baseball memories. And, you know, I think that's one good thing that comes out of this is that, you know, we're talking a lot about good memories.
Yeah.
It's not all bad memories. There's a lot of great memories. And just, you know, a few minutes ago, I had someone tweet to the Expos account that they are at Jerry Park in 1974 on September 28th when Gary hit his first home run.
Oh, wow.
Off Steve Carlton. And you know, that's when it started, you know, I mean, obviously we think of Gary behind the plate at Olympic Stadium, but, you know, we also have to remember this guy that was, originally supposed to be a shortstop who, was, playing at Jerry Park for a few years.
They say that, and I have not heard validation of this story. I've heard it from a couple of people, but they say that Gary Carter was nicknamed the Kid because Ted Teeven saw him running around the outfield, running into walls and just couldn't believe who this crazy kid was. And I've heard a few different things. I heard Tommy Hutton on Randy Tiemann say that it came from someone in the minor leagues. And I'm going to stick with the Ted Teevan story. I like it the best.
Well, I just love all these anecdotes and things that are coming out today. One of my favorite things is when the New York Times ran their obit this afternoon. There's that quote from Pierre Elliott Trudeau, who said, "I am certainly happy that I don't have to run for election against Gary Carter."
Isn't that wonderful?
And it just goes to show just how popular Gary Carter was. And if there's one thing that today has shown me, the expos are still popular, and people love Gary Carter and they love the expos. So. I'd like to look at the positives today because I think, you know, we did know this was coming. And, you know, there's just so many positives. And, you know, I'm sure people have been pressing play on YouTube all evening on plenty of clips of Gary. And there's just so many great memories of him, you know, from, you know, you got to see the, you know, the 7-Up commercial with him and his daughter and, you know, in his Expos uniform and, you know, his Hall of Fame speech and, you know, his speech here in Montreal when he was inducted to the Expo when his number was retired in Montreal. So there's just so many good memories. And, you know, I was 12, Gary Carter's final season. But even for me, he just means so much being the first Expo inducted into the Hall of Fame.
There's nothing bigger than that. And I remember having to make the choice as to whether I would stay in Montreal and watch the Expos play that weekend, or I would go to Cooperstown and see Carter's induction ceremony. And I chose the Expos, and I stand by it because you didn't know how many games you had left at that point.
Absolutely. And I remember that well because the Expos were playing in town that day, and I was working. So, it's just to hear the show, you know, just to hear Terry and hear Katie Hines and hear everyone reminiscing, you know, it just goes to show that there's still many people that care about this team.
Yeah, and for those of us that never stopped caring, it's nice to see that everybody else felt that way too. It just seemed like a dirty little secret for a while, and now it's okay to talk about our pain from losing the Expos, and it's okay to share our pain from losing Gary Carter.
And, you know, listen, I think people identify Gary Carter, you know, and we can say a lot about how, you know, Gary, you know, made the Hall of Fame because he did play those years in New York. And, you know, he would have made the Hall of Fame no matter what.
Right. But as we said with Terry Haig before, he was the king of New York, and nobody blames him for doing as well as he did in the number one baseball market in the world.
Absolutely. And, you know, what I can say is that despite all this, you know, he was the king of New York and a lot of stuff being focused on New York, especially in American media, from what I'm seeing today and tonight, people do associate Gary first and foremost with the Expos.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this is a guy who went to the All-Star game 7 times in the Expos uniform and won the All-Star game MVP twice in the Expos uniform. And, you know, I mean, even though we only made the postseason once, you know, he batted over 400 that postseason, you know, so he was a clutch player and the reason we did make it to the playoffs, one of the reasons we made it to the playoffs in 81.
Elias, we have a special guest on the line. I want to keep you on the line and you guys can both say hello to each other. That's doable, right, Sean? All right, we're now joined by Jay Devine, who also worked for the Expos. Elias, say hello.
Hey, Jay, how you doing?
Good, pal. How are you, bud?
Very good, very good. Jay got my job at the Expos. True story. The only reason I worked for the Expos in media relations because Jay Devine called me 3 days or 4 days before the start of the 2002 season.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was a pretty it couldn't have been a better fit, though, Elias, to tell you the truth. But I know we got to share those moments together. And tonight I saw you online. I reached out and I didn't have much to say. I was just like, such a sad day. And obviously we knew what we were talking about. But there were so many great memories we got to share with the Expos, you and I together. I know we never got to see Gary. We weren't working there when he was playing, but he would sometimes come around. I remember I was a video coordinator, so I'd obviously be working in the clubhouse doing tapes for players, and ex-players would come in. And Gary was really fond of our kitchen chef, James Manita. And I remember many a times he'd be like,
come in, it would be after Batting Factory, around 5:30 or something like that, and he'd come in and say, like, hey, Jay, let's grab an egg salad sandwich. And I'd be like, yeah, that's great, Gary. You still have no idea that my eyes are, like, this wide open because you're asking me to have an egg salad sandwich with you. I was a catcher growing up wearing number 8 because of you. My dad was the coach, and, you know, I'd be like, Dad, what time is sip-sap time? But he knew that I just always wanted to be Gary Carter, and if anything, if I could have had curly hair, I would have. But I know it's Eli dropped Katie's name before. There's so many people that are brought together tonight. It's such a sad time, but it's still nice to know that there's such fond memories in our hearts, and we all seem to, over airwaves and Facebook and Twitter accounts, we all still get to recollect and remember how special he was.
And we're doing it tonight, Jay, and we will do it in person. We will find, I know I was speaking with some friends at Hurley's downtown, and they're all up for having a benefit or some sort of a wake or something where we can all congregate and get together and share some stories in person as well. So this will not end. This will not end tonight.
No, I know it won't. And you guys have been doing a great homage tonight. I know Elias has been all over the place tonight as well, but as everyone else has. So thanks a lot for all your dedication to that, guys. He's a great guy.
Jay Devine and Eli Makos, thank you both.
Hey, no problem, right. Dave. Nice talking to you.
Speak to you soon.
Bye, guys.
Have a good night. Well, that was very nice. This is TSN 990. We're paying tribute to Gary Carter tonight. I'm Dave Kaufman, and I'm going to miss Gary Carter a lot. I've got a couple of good stories that I will strive to tell you. And again, I want to mention our podcast. On January 23rd, we, on The Kaufman Show, did a tribute to Gary Carter. We wanted to do our tribute to Gary Carter while Gary Carter was still alive. And honestly, I wanted him to hear it. And we got the tapes to the Carter family and got a very nice thank you from both Kimmy and Kyle Blomers, Gary's daughter and son-in-law, and said that they shared it with Gary and they thanked us a lot. And when I think about Roy and Dorval, who I keep going back to Roy and Dorval, because Roy called and said that on that tribute show and said that watching Gary Carter play baseball was the greatest time of his life. And we're really happy that Gary Carter got to hear Roy from Dorval say that. That's my co-host, right, on the private line? All right, let's bring him in. You all know him from such films as McLean's Pub and McLean's Pub and The Kaufman Show. It's my good friend Jay Farrar. And hey, buddy.
Hey, Dave. How you doing?
I'm all right, man. Like I said when I called you earlier, I kind of wish I could just give you a big hug right now.
Yeah, and I said I wanted to reciprocate that because, I haven't been able to listen to the show much because I am at work, but I could only imagine what's going on here, and it's a tough time. It's a tough time. It's actually just sunk in for me, really. I knew he was sick, obviously, and but, you know, you kind of take these things for granted, and then there's the finality of it all in the end, and it's affected me quite a bit today.
Yeah, it's a tough feeling, and I imagine you're at the bar right now, and you've got to put on a fake smile and pretend like everything's okay.
Yeah, I'm actually in a nice shirt here, but I'm still rocking my Expos cap.
Oh, good.
And we've put up some Carter 8 posters all over the place.
Very nice.
In the bar, and, you know, just very simple in black and gray, Carter 8, and just as a little tribute. You know, the saddest part is that some of the young kids don't know who he is. They refer to him as that baseball guy. But you know what? If any kind of exposure I can get for the kid, I'll do it. And tonight's a good night to do it.
Good, Jay. Good. I imagine that the tone of our show on Monday has taken a bit of a different pallor right now.
It really has. Yeah, we had something completely different planned out.
But, yeah, and we will still commemorate that, but. We're going to definitely spend a little bit more time on Gary Carter, and of course remind everybody about our podcast, which you can go listen to for free on iTunes or thekaufmanshow.podbean.com. Jay and I are very proud of it.
Yes, we are. It was a great night, and something I'll always remember. Just, you know, there was one little story that I couldn't tell there that night, and that's when I see Gary Carter, I don't know if somebody else has said it the same way, but for me, Gary Carter always represented a superhero. When I first, my first memories of the Expos are the Gary Carter, Reigns, Dawson era. But Gary Carter, I remember on photo day in 1983. It is my earliest memory of going down to the Olympic Stadium, and I still can remember it as plain as day today, with my dad and my brother. My brother doesn't remember it. He's a little younger than I do. And just seeing the guys live right in front of me with those bright white, red, and blue Expos uniforms and the tricolor caps, and seeing Gary Carter square-jawed, smiling, beautiful, permed curl in the back, and he looked like a superhero to me. He looked like something out of a comic book, and I always thought, I didn't realize that he was real until I actually saw him in person, and that's what he represented to me. When you're young age, you're impressionable, and you have a tendency to idolize those, and they become surreal to you. They don't become real people, and until you see them real close up, and you say, wow, this man's a real man. And you know what? He even looked like my dad a little bit. My dad's name is Gary. So I used to go around to the kids in school and say, oh, my dad's name is Gary, because he had the same name as Gary Carter, you know? So that's how I always remember him, as kind of a superhero, kind of a godlike figure to me, where, I mean, I can't even remember him playing that much. I just remember I had all his baseball cards, and it was just, he was something very, very different to me. A square-jawed, smiling, you know, apple pie kind of guy, you know?
Wow. Thank you, brother.
Well, thank you. And, you know, try and enjoy the night, but I know you're feeling it. I talked to you earlier.
It's this is very therapeutic.
Yes, it is. Of course it is.
And you should see my email inbox right now. In fact, we have to really get to a few of these emails, because for as many people have called tonight, I think I have 10 times the amount of emails just filling up my inbox right now.
Well, you get to it, bud, and, you know, stay strong, and my heart goes out to the Carter family.
See you soon. Thanks so much.
Take care, bud.
Jay Farrar from The Kaufman Show. That sounds kind of funny, doesn't it? Can I read a couple of emails before we go to the phones? And then we'll go to Andrew and the chef in Montebello. But, okay, where do we start here? I'm clicking on these blinds, so you all better... You better have written well. This is from Richard Eisenberg. In memory of Gary, fans in Montreal should rally to bring back baseball to Montreal. If we get baseball back, we should name the new baseball stadium Carter Park. Richard. I don't have anything really to add to that. Sure, I'm down. Okay. From A. Panayotti. Dave, thanks for being on the air tonight, and thanks for holding this show live. It mustn't be an easy thing to do, surely. Correct. I'm 28 years old. I was born in 1983. My earliest and most fond Expos game was in 1994. I was 10 years old. I just qualified for the Junior National Championship game. I do martial arts, taekwondo. My coach took me and a few of my friends to an Expos game. It was right before the end of the season, right before the strike. I remember the people handing out posters, papers, etc., all writing "no strike." I remember screaming at the top of my lungs, not really knowing what it meant or what it really entailed for our Expos. What I did know was what it felt to be 10 years old in the biggest stadium I had ever seen in my life, sitting amongst 40,000 people. When you're that young and that small, everything seems so big, but when the place and occasion are that enormous, it really makes for a memorable impression. That was my first Expos experience. I fell in love with them since. I started going to Expos games every chance I got. I'd ask my dad to get me tickets so I can give them back to him for Father's Day as a gift. That's awesome. I'd ask my dad to drive me down to Sherbrooke and Pina Friday evenings, and I'd pay $9 just to get a ticket and then run down to the first row right behind the VIP section. So didn't we all? You could go down as far as you wanted in that empty stadium, except the VIPs. They had security guards controlling those sections, but I'd always go down and sit in the first base line. I once even asked a girl out on a date and proposed to go watch the Expos together. I ended up going by myself. Every chance I could, I would make my way down and catch maybe 4 or 5 games a season. I was 14, 15, 16 at the time. I'm a little too young to have watched Gary Carter play, but I appreciate the show tonight because it tells a story of what I came to love. I grew up watching Vlad and Pedro. I actually went to Bio Henry bars at the Depanera in the Metro to throw one game for Henry Rodriguez. I was at the stadium to watch Tony Gwynn for his 3,000th hit. I was too, man. Expos history is important not to forget. Our tradition. To help us understand how baseball shaped the city, Gary Carter was one of those game-defining people. He left a legacy, touched many people, and created plenty of waves in the baseball pond. Waves which, as Expos fans, affect me tonight. Thank you for your tribute show a few weeks ago, and thanks for tonight's show. Thank you for showing me what came before me. That was beautiful. That was beautiful. Thank you. From Rick. The city of Montreal should the city of Montreal should change the street name René Lévesque Boulevard to Gary Carter Boulevard. Well, hey, look at that. It didn't light up the phones like I thought it would. From Matt Steinberg. Dave, listening on satellite radio, thank you, Matt. Growing up around the dinner table, I remember my dad would occasionally roll his eyes when Gary Carter's name came up, and I didn't understand it. I would learn as I got older that many felt there wasn't a camera Gary wouldn't shy away from. But looking back, I come to take it as Gary working not only on the field, but for getting the city to talk about baseball off. What a treasure for Montreal baseball fans, and we were lucky to have him. My first summer hero. Thank you for giving us grievers a place to be heard. And that's from Matt Stenberg in Hudson. I think that's all of them for now. If I didn't read your email, it's because I have so many. Please send it again and put it at the top for me. Mo, who's going to be joining us at 11 o'clock?
Chris Russell.
From ESPN,
from ESPN,
right?
980 in Washington. He's a rest could be reported, but he did cover the Mets. Big Mets fan.
Okay, good.
Big Gary Carter guy. And speaking to him off air, he was really sad about the passing of Gary Carter, but he's looking forward to coming on air with you and I to talk about.
We look forward to speaking Gary with him Carter. In about 10 minutes' time. And we're going to be taking your calls, and we're also going to be playing a couple of select interviews from the tribute show, from the Kauffman Show Gary Carter Tribute, which, once again, I encourage you all to check out. It's the most important thing I've ever done. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to the chef. We've got Andrew in Montebello. Good evening, Andrew.
Hey, Dave.
Thank you for waiting so long. I'm sorry we didn't get to you.
Hey, listen, don't forget it. Dave, Mo, Sean, thank you. Katie, you're not alone. I hope you're still listening.
God bless Katie Hines, huh?
Oh, goodness gracious. This is going to be tough. I heard from the mouth of Mitch Melnick tonight, and I was at the restaurant. And, well, needless to say, it was kind of hard for me to explain to my 20-something staff why the chef was openly weeping in the kitchen. And so I spent the rest of my shift explaining things to them, that what baseball really, really was in this province once before. And not just Montreal, because I came from a really small town in the Eastern Townships, out in West Brome. And Gary Carter was like everything that was summer. Soccer didn't exist back then. There was hockey, and there was baseball. And playing catch in the backyard with friends for years, I would pitch, someone else would catch, I would catch, someone else would pitch. It was always Carter and Rogers. And I can remember the first time I ever played organized baseball. But this is, like I said, this is out in West Brome and out in Sutton, and the people who are listening, they're going to be smiling right now. It was softball, basically, and I think I was maybe 14 years old, and my first time at the plate, I got balled, and I ran my ass off to first base, because that is what I had learned. That's what Gary Carter did, and I actually got laughed at by a couple guys saying, oh, you think you're the kid, you think you're Carter, and I really not actually realizing what they're all saying, but I can just remember getting back in the car, and my dad saying, don't ever let anybody laugh at you when you're running your ass off for something that you deserve. And that has always, 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 always stayed with me. And I think Gary Carter, because of that, is maybe the person I've become today. And that's kind of crazy to say.
No, it's not, man. It's really not. You have no idea how much I've heard that.
It's just unfortunate, but I really, really, really want to thank you guys for this tonight. And I know it won't be just a one-time deal. I was actually watching a little bit while I was waiting. The guys on RDS did a great job tonight.
Good.
Alain Choquette was there. Marie-Eugène was there. Richard Morancy did a little bit of an introduction for people who don't know, who was the house announcer at the Big O.
Andrew, will you hold on just 1 second?
No problem, bud.
Thanks. We're going to go to CBC Late Night's coverage
with young fans.
Right here.
But I want you to work on right now. Even now, those who weren't even around for Carter's heyday in the 80s still call him an inspiration.
Just a story of a guy who worked really hard to get where he got. I guess it's
motivation for the kids here.
He's the kind of guy who actually inspired me to start a place like this, give a chance to the kids to be able to live their dream all the way.
For fans old enough to remember the Expos, Carter remains a vivid memory of sunny days spent at the Big O.
We used to always call him Mr. Carter, just out of respect and just out of hope that he would do something to help win the game.
The team not being here for 7-8 years, losing a guy like that, using one of the last big pieces of the Expos, it's a huge loss for the Montreal community.
In front of the cameras, the kid was charismatic and cool, but beyond the charm, his skills with the glove and at bat were top-notch.
On the field between the white lines, he was a gamer, and that's
Steve Rogers speaking.
That's how you get to the Hall of Fame.
Former Expos CEO Claude Brochu calls Carter the greatest the team ever had.
He always wanted to win. He never gave up, wanted to succeed, and he loved Montreal.
And to this day, Montreal loves Gary. Thomas Daglis, CBC News, Montreal.
Students are gathering at this hour.
Thank you to the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation for allowing us to do that. We'll assume they allowed it. This is Dave Kaufman with TSN Radio 990, and you're listening all over. Now that you're listening on the internet, you're listening on your Bell Fibe and Bell satellite television feeds, they're everywhere tonight, guys, and we appreciate it. We're all Expos fans, and we're all feeling it today. Who's up next? Let's go back to Andrew. Thank you, Chef. Thanks for holding again, man.
No problem, guys. Listen, all I can say basically to sum this up is that there must be one hell of a game of baseball is being played tonight up in heaven.
Oh, man.
Now is my dad sitting behind home plate, probably for the first time in his life, smiling his ass off. So with that, guys, I just want to leave you that, and thank you very much for this evening. It's been just great.
Andrew, thank you for sharing. We greatly appreciate it. Let's see if we can do both these calls before we reach our guest. Let's go to Carlos. Good evening, Carlos.
Hey, Dave. Hi.
Hey.
I commend you for what you're doing tonight. It's really good.
Thank you.
Yeah, I put it to you earlier. What was that? I'm that 51-year-old. And the Expos, if people remember, well, they were a franchise team. And in the beginning, all we had was all these old players from these teams that, well, they gave us all their scraps, sort of. And our first sort of like, prospect was Baylor Moore, who didn't really do very much. And then we kept on hearing things about Carter and Carter and Carter, and then finally we saw him, and hey, this kid is good. He plays well, my God. But we had Barry Foote in front of him. And then the team changed plans. He goes, look, we're going to go towards a youth movement. And that's when in 75, they got rid of Gene Mock and went full steam ahead with all the youngsters. And that's what happened. And then in 77, when it came to Olympic Stadium, the backstop is so far back from home plate. I got to really go back a lot, you know, compared to Jerry Park. And But that's when it started. But Gary was our first actual superstar. He was the one that made United States networks look up north and say, hey, there's a team in Montreal. Because I don't think any Americans knew there was a team, there's a baseball team in Montreal.
He gave our city legitimacy, Carlos.
Well,
he was a big part of it on a grand scale. And I'm not trying to... You know what? It definitely matters what our neighbors think of us.
It does.
And Gary Carter helped make Montreal a big deal.
Yeah, well,
think about the Sports Illustrated covers. Imagine the thrill of that, of having a Montreal Expo on the cover of SI. That must have been just crazy.
Actually, I just sent an email to the station shows. SI.com has 36 rare photos. In fact, they have the photo of, that you have as your Twitter profile, I think it is.
Of him and Charlie Lee.
That's
after
right, the
no-hitter.
Right. And so they have 36 fantastic photos of Gary Carter. Go to SI.com, just type in Gary Carter, and you'll have it.
We're going to take a little break, and we're going to come back and boy, we're going to try and get through as many calls and emails, and I still want to play a part of the tribute, and I've got a couple of things I want to say too, but let's just go through these breaks as fast as possible. This is TSN 990 Radio Special Programming. I'm Dave Kaufman, and we're talking about Gary Carter tonight. Welcome back to TSN 990 Radio Special Programming. I'm Dave Kaufman. I'm joined by Mo Khan and Sean Coleman, and we're talking about Gary Carter tonight. We're going to bring in our next guest right now. We're very happy that he's given us a few minutes of his time. He's in Washington, D.C. He works for ESPN, and his name is Chris Russell. You can follow him on Twitter at RussellMania980. Good evening, Chris.
Hey, fellas. How are you?
We're okay. It's been very therapeutic tonight. All the Expos fans are coming out of the woodwork, and everybody's sharing their stories, and it's nice to know that we're all feeling this.
Yeah, and you know, I can just speak for me. You know, I mean, I first started watching Gary in Montreal. You know, I grew up in New York as a Mets fan, and, you know, the Mets would, of course, play regularly in Montreal, and I always thought to myself, God, that's just a guy that I would just love my favorite team to get.
Hmm.
Sure as you know what, and I know that deal didn't work out for the Montreal Expos, but, you know, Floyd Yeomans and Herm Winningham, and then who else was in that deal? Ellis Valentine, and I believe it was –
Ellis. Mike Fitzgerald was in the deal, I believe.
Right.
Hubie Brooks, there you go.
You know, as well, you know, for Gary Carter, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, the Mets have Gary Carter, and I knew it broke the heart of the Expo fans, but, you know, you guys at that point were getting a pretty good rake in return, or at least we thought. And you know, then he comes in, and I'm so excited, and his very first game, and I just watched it again about a half an hour ago, 20 minutes ago, I posted it on my Twitter, the video where he hits a game-winning home run in the 10th inning, opening day at the old Shea Stadium against Neil Allen of the St. Louis Cardinals, who, oddly enough, a year before was traded for Keith Hernandez. And Keith Hernandez and Gary Carter, along with Dwight Gooden and Daryl Strawberry and so many others, combined to win that 1986 World Championship for the Mets. And all I can say is, you know, it was a great honor to watch him. He was my favorite player, my favorite athlete of all time. I'll miss him to this day, and it was a great honor to be able to work a little bit with him a couple of years ago at Sporting News Radio.
Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah. Sporting News Radio, you know, which has morphed into Yahoo Sports Radio now, you know, we were based in Chicago, and I used to host, you know, shows all the time for them, and occasionally I would fill in on the weekend daily shows. And Gary was our Sporting News Radio MLB analyst, you know, for a couple of summers. And so, you know, 3, 4, 5 times per summer, I guess, you know, I would have Gary on my show. And I always found him to be engaging, charming, everything that you thought Gary would be. And, you know, the one time I met him, and it was quick, you know, I didn't get to cover him. But again, just so friendly, so nice, so outgoing. And to see, you know, to see this happen to a man who, you know, didn't even get to enjoy his Hall of Fame life, you know, for a long time. I know he enjoyed every minute of it with his family and with his friends. But to see it kind of end so quickly, it just shows you how incredibly cruel life can be, that, you know, people that break laws and whatnot, guys, you know, can live long and sometimes prosperous lives, and people who do things the right way and who made people smile and who did everything they could to engage the fans and the media and his teammates. And sometimes it rubbed people the wrong way, quite honestly, that somebody like this could have his life cut so short.
Chris, Mo Khan here. With us and Gary Carter, it was a love relationship with him because we adored him for who he is and who he was. What was the relationship like with Mets fans with Gary Carter? Was it really appreciated? I know New Yorkers are a lot harder on their baseball teams, but was it appreciated that here is a guy that came in and got his jersey dirty every single night to win a ball game for the Mets?
Yeah, no, Mo, that's a great question. You know, I can speak, you know, for the Mets fan base, I think, because I grew up in that era. I was there at a lot of those games. I am a Mets fan. I'll always be one. And, you know, again, first and foremost, Gary was my favorite athlete, so maybe I'm a little bit biased. And I don't say that. I mean, I've said this to everyone. I've read, you know, Gary's book, and I told Gary this. You know, the Mets fans, when they were in that era, 1984, 1985, 1986, you know, and even a couple of years after that, you know, they loved Gary. Now, the only people that you would hear things about is some in the media that were looking to create a story. And then when things got really dysfunctional in, say, 1987 for the Mets, and Dwight Gooden was suspended for drugs, and, you know, things started getting out of control, and all the maniacal egos in that clubhouse from that 86 wild bunch that won the World Series got out of hand, people started saying, you know what, Gary's a little bit of a me guy. He's a, look at me, I'm always pumping my fist and celebrating with the fans and showing off and taking my curtain call and, you know, always, you know, pumping and just doing things to kind of make me stand out. And yeah, I guess there's some of that, and I do remember that quite vividly, but I always looked at it, guys, as a guy who played the game with incredible passion. And there's nothing wrong, as long as you're not doing anything to show anybody up, there's nothing wrong with playing the game with a joy and a passion, and I think that's what the kid did for so many years, both in Montreal and with the Mets.
I wish more people played it with the same kind of zest and lust for life that Gary Carter had. Chris Russell, I want to thank you so much for your time. We've got a bunch of fans that want to speak, or I would keep you on longer. Let's.
I totally understand.
Let's do this again sometime.
Let them vent.
Let's absolutely do this again sometime. Thank you so much. Chris Russell from ESPN Radio 980 in Washington, D.C. You can follow him at RussellMania980. And it's nice to hear from the Mets side of things and to know that Gary Carter was ours, but we've got to share him.
And Chris, I mean, I've listened to him since his days at Sporting News Radio, and he has a love for the city of Montreal and the Expos. And as I said to you before, speaking to him off air, and you can feel the pain in his voice about Gary Carter and how much of a profound effect, a positive effect he had on the city of New York and many fans in the States.
We're here for another, we're here till midnight. Mo, you have midnight snack tonight,
yeah, right? Well, it's going to be a summer one. Of course, we're going to do a lot of CFL talk, but we'll definitely throw in some Gary Carter talk on top of that.
Yeah, you're going to let me stick around for the start of it?
Absolutely, absolutely.
All right. And I appreciate that, sir. Thank you.
No worries. And Scott Miller, CBS Sportsline Radio.
Why don't you get Scott to come on at midnight? Why don't you give him a call and see if he'll come on at midnight for the
Oh, that's fine. We'll have one for
yeah, you think okay?
That's perfectly fine.
All right.
No worries.
So let's go to our next caller. C'est mon ami Louis de Villemercier. Salut, Louis.
Hey, salut, Dave. Hi, Mo. Well, it's a sad day, guys. Well, Gary Carter, well, I had Guy Lafleur as my idol growing up, but Gary Carter, oh, boy. I remember the first time, Dave, 1975. Well, he came up with the Expo 74, but after 1 or 2 years, he started doing his first commercial, the 7-Up commercial with his daughter, Christy.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. This guy caught me when I saw this commercial, and we were watching baseball on the French network and also on English network.
Mm-hmm.
Well, greatest catcher, Johnny Bench maybe was the greatest catcher, but Gary Carter, best Expos of all time.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Best Expos of all time.
Did you ever meet him, Louis?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, at the stadium a couple of times, also at the Bell Center. What a great guy. What a class act all the way. Because when the Montreal Canadiens honored Gary, I think it was 5 or 6 years ago.
It was October of 2006, if memory serves.
Okay, good.
Maybe 2005.
And he was sitting in my section. He came up after the celebration. I just congratulate him with his great career.
Hmm.
And he talked to me about 15 minutes. And he didn't know me. But I just congratulate him what he's done to the city of Montreal. What a great player. He wanted to win every game. He was the determination, character. What a class act. What a great player. In those, 79 till 83, we had the best team in the major, Dave.
Hmm.
And it was incredible that when we used to go to the stadium.
I bet it was.
It's a sad day. I know you have a lot of people. It's a sad day, and I don't feel okay tonight. I'm sad. It's a big loss for the city of Montreal when we had the Montreal Expos. Well, I'm going to let your outer fans. It's a great show you and Mo tonight.
Thanks, Louis.
It's a sad day.
You're not alone, Louis. Everybody's sad.
Take
Everybody's
care.
Having trouble with this one, and you are not alone, sir. That's why we're here tonight. We're taking calls and we're reading emails and We're sharing our memories on the kid, and let's keep it going. We've got Murray and Lachine. Good evening, Murray.
Good evening, Dave. You're doing a great job.
Thank you, sir.
I have a short story, which I'm going to try to make really short.
No, take your time, man.
I was 1992. My youngest son was born 3 months prematurely, and it was touch and go for about 3 months. And a friend of mine decided that I needed a break, so he took me to an Expos game, and it was Gary Carter's last game. And I still remember where his double hit the wall. And I think the cheering went on for 10, well.
It felt as long as the Rockets standing out the last game at the Forum. It had that same feeling.
And I started crying. And I knew that my son was going to be okay. And he's now a member of the Canadian Forces, so Gary Carter is kind of important to me.
Wow. Wow. Thank you for sharing that story, Murray. I'm very happy that your kid is okay and serving our country. That's Sean, can we take a two-minute break? All right, we'll be right back. Welcome back. Dave Kaufman here for TSN Radio 990. You can listen to us on the internets at tsn.ca/Montreal. Just click on the Listen Live button. We're also on your TVs now, which is kind of cool. I think it's 985 on Bell ExpressU, 980 on Bell Fibe. And, we're much like how Gary Carter had a real reach across this country. We're trying to get everybody tonight to talk about it. Hello, gentlemen. The midnight snack is soon approaching. Let's go to Mike on a cell. Mike wants to talk about Gary Carter. Good evening, Mike.
Hey, Dave. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Considering that the city is grieving once again, I think the first time they were grieving was when we lost the Expos. Me being, my father and I being season ticket holders and sitting in section AA, we were diehard Expos fans. And when they left, it was over for me with baseball pretty much. But more specifically, there were some great times at Olympic Stadium. And the most emotional moments of my life or my career in Olympic Stadium or going to Olympic Stadium involved doubles. And one was when Curtis Pride hit a double. I don't know if you remember that.
Of course. My goodness, how could anybody forget that? That was the loudest that the Olympic Stadium has ever been.
It was so loud, and I think the crowd wanted Curtis to hear it.
Yep. He felt it. He felt it. He felt it through the floor.
Yeah, he really did. So that was an emotional time. But, of course, Gary Carter's last at-bat, you can't beat that. So, I mean, those were two very, very crucial moments in me being a fan and enjoying the Expos while they were here. I'm not going to go into too many. I'm not going to go into stories like everybody's had. I don't have many, many stories about Gary Carter. I know I've met him a couple of times. I know he's a very genuine fellow. A lot of people, believe it or not, I don't know if a lot of people, but some people gave Gary Carter a hard time and they kind of vilified him sometimes. And I think in your interview with the gentleman from New York, he was trying to say that many people might have been very envious of Gary Carter and the fact that he was always so jovial, and sometimes people mistook that as being arrogant.
I'll tell you, Mike, on our tribute show that you can I encourage you to check out on iTunes or thekaufmanshow.podbean.com, we did a Gary Carter tribute, and Earl the Pearl, who used to call into Ted Teven show all the time. It was
sure.
Quite
I used to produce Ted Teven show.
Oh, well, there you go. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah,
it's an honor to be speaking with you.
I was slots.
Oh, look at that. Well, it's a pleasure to have you on air.
Thank you.
Someone who grew up listening to Ted, it almost feels like he should be sitting here right now doing this.
That's 100%. He was a class act, Ted. But very quickly, and I'll let you get your other callers. I know you're busy tonight. I don't know if anybody's mentioned this because I only tuned into the show just late. I really think, you know, that the Canadiens organization has never really dropped the ball when it comes to stuff like this. And I really think in the next game, and I don't know, I'm not part of the marketing department, maybe you guys know, but I really think the Canadiens should have Juppie out in center ice, dropping the puck next game, maybe inviting a couple of Expos, former Expos, to the game, and actually paying a proper tribute to Gary Carter, because the fans in the Bell Center are not just Canadiens fans.
Hey, Mike, I'm with you, man. I'm with you. Yeah. Don't hold your breath for it.
Yeah,
hold your breath for it. We've seen this organization in the past. We saw what happened with, you know what? For me, the most emotional night I've ever spent at the Bell Center was the night that Boom Boom Jeffrion's number was retired and he passed away that morning.
Goes without saying.
I do not know what the Montreal Canadiens have planned or if they have something planned. I hope they do.
I think they may surprise you, Dave.
And I would be over the moon if Sunday's game against, you know, and it's funny, I just gave away my tickets for Sunday's game. But
right. If
I find out that there's something, I will, by hook or by crook, get myself into that building.
One last quick point. I was actually speaking to some people today. I was playing poker, and I was speaking, and there was a young fellow at the table. He was 20 years old, Dave. And I said to him, do you know that Gary Carter died today? And he looked at me and he said, who's Gary Carter?
Oh, Jesus.
And you know what the thing was, is that it's not sad that he didn't know who Gary Carter was, Dave. It's sad that he didn't get to see.
That's right. He didn't get to experience it. And you know what? You said that, and I automatically said what I just said. But the truth of the matter is, I sat on Twitter last Sunday watching people write, who is Paul McCartney? So
that's right.
People don't know people, and they're missing out. And, you know, I was lucky that my parents made me appreciate Gary Carter and Paul McCartney. But not everybody was that lucky. And we were blessed, Mike. And
amen. Amen, brother. You know? Anyway.
Thank you for your call tonight. We really appreciate it.
All the best.
Cheers. We're going to go back to Sonia. Sonia, you okay?
Yeah, I called you earlier.
I know who you are. I wanted to see if you're okay.
I'm still silenced a bit. You know, I'm just like sort of breathing it all in and accepting the fact that he's gone. And it's really hard to take, but we're all good. You know, it's okay.
You know, you're not alone, right?
Exactly.
You heard?
My God.
Did you hear Katie tonight?
Pardon me?
Did you hear Katie Hines on the show tonight?
No, I didn't. I was out upstairs with my neighbors. But
I'm gonna try and get this.
And again,
I would like to
refer to the last caller about saying that nobody knew who Gary Carter was.
Well, it wasn't nobody. It was that there's a generation of people in this town,
exactly,
who
yeah.
did not grow up with Gary Carter. We're at the point right now, Sonia.
Well,
where is it, sorry? Is it Sonia Jean or Sonia Jean?
It's Sonia Jean.
Okay, Sonia
like
Jean,
Barbara
like
Queen,
or
yeah.
like Bobby Jean.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a whole generation of people out there now that don't remember the Expos,
well,
that don't remember the last Stanley Cup, that don't remember the strike, and it's
don't talk to me about the strike. Don't go there.
Sonia,
94.
we're all getting old is the point. And,
exactly.
And but even more mind-blowing is that the kid is gone. Because when you think of youth, you think of Gary Carter. You think of that youthful exuberance that Gary Carter displayed.
Well, why am I more upset about Gary Carter than Whitney Houston? I mean, as a matter of fact.
Because Whitney Houston, we all saw coming for 10 years.
We saw it coming for years. And we only saw it coming for Gary Carter for 2 years.
Gary Carter didn't wreck himself on crack.
No, exactly. He had brain cancer.
Right.
Which
is the
worst cancer.
And I'm not, you know, and I don't want to compare. Well, I'm sure they're all bad.
Exactly. All cancers are bad.
But, you know, just because Whitney Houston and Gary Carter died on the same week doesn't.
I know. And
I'm sure there are a lot of people out there who are more heartbroken about Whitney Houston and who.
No,
Whitney Houston's
I'm more
music...
silenced about Gary Carter.
Yeah,
but that's
you, Sonia. There's a lot of people out there. You know, I'll tell you right now, music is a hell of a lot more important to me than sports. It is.
Wow.
That may be blasphemous to say on a sports radio station, but I lost my baseball team. I've never lost a CD or an album.
Well, you know what? I, I did wear my Washington Capitals hat because it's the only thing I could, Washington Capitals, Nationals hat, because it's the only one I had to, I don't know what to do.
We can already tell that you and I are very different people. I would never, ever, ever wear a Nationals hat.
Well, it's only because it's the only thing I had to grab onto the Expos.
Sonia, go tomorrow and buy yourself an Expos cap and wear it with pride.
I have Expos stuff.
Good. And you said you're going to wear your scarf. Didn't you say that earlier?
I did.
Okay.
I absolutely did.
I listen when you talk.
You're so sweet.
I do my best. I do my best.
Okay.
And I want to thank you for calling in tonight. And by all means, if you need to reach out again, we're here for a little while longer, okay? Okay. Let's go back to the phones. We've got Phil in Park Axe. Good evening, Phil.
Hi there, Dave. How's it going?
I'm all right, man.
Yeah.
I'm feeling the love from all of you Expos fans, and it feels very good.
I might go back to day one of the Expos.
Please do. Please do.
I was at the very first game here in Shell, so I saw them from day one and everything, and I met Gary Carter quite a few times at spring training, and he was a very easy person to talk to. He'd sit down and talk to you about baseball for hours on end. He was a very friendly man.
Yeah, he was. That's the thing, you know, for as many calls as we've had celebrating his accomplishments between the lines, the ones that mean the most to me tonight are the ones of people calling and talking about how he affected them as individuals and how he made them want to be better people. And that's, to me, that's what this is all about.
Yeah.
And really, like, if I can go on a 2-second rant here and then I'll let you go right back at it, Phil.
Okay.
I'm sitting in front of me and I have a score sheet from last night's hockey game. And there's all sorts of circles on it of who was plus and who was minus and how many shots some guy took and how long his ice time was for the night. And yeah, there's nothing on this. I can rip this up and throw it out because I don't care.
Yeah.
What I care about are the athletes that are bigger than the game. And Gary Carter was bigger than the game.
Yeah.
And to me, that means so much more than, you know, if a guy scores or if a guy was minus two. And I understand that this is stuff that has to be talked about.
Yeah.
I'm very happy to talk about the athletes that mean the most, that are bigger than the game, that make people that don't give a damn about baseball give a damn about baseball.
Yeah, I remember the first time I met him, he sat and talked to me and my friends for a good half hour, three quarters of an hour, and he was more interested in what we were, like what we did, and he got to know us.
Phil, thank you so much for your call. We appreciate it. We've got Paul all the way in California. Hello, Paul.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. I'm an old transplanted New Yorker out here in California.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on air with us tonight.
Well, I knew as soon as I heard the news that you folks would be talking a lot about Gary, so I wanted to make sure I listened.
He meant a lot to us out here. It's I know that, that in New York he was a favorite son as well, but in Montreal he helped really put the city on the map for baseball.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't know if you know this, but he learned French when he was here. He reached out to small towns, to all through the province of Quebec. He really, and into Ontario. I heard stories tonight about him meeting, going to caravans in Ottawa and things like that. And he resonated across the country.
Yeah. Well, he kind of picked up the mantle that was sort of dropped when Rusty was traded.
Yeah.
And Rusty did a fair amount of that. I had a chance to meet him after the World Series parade in the Mets clubhouse. I was doing some photography for one of the Mets sponsors in the clubhouse when the players were coming in for RC Cola. And I walked up to him, and as he was filling up a bag. And I had asked him if he had remembered a neighbor of his from his old neighborhood in Orange County, where he grew up, a fellow named Red Patterson, who was first the Yankees public relations guy in the mid to early 50s, and then went over to the Dodgers, and then after about 20 years with the Dodgers, he moved over to the Angels. And he stopped. When I mentioned Patterson's name, he kind of stopped and looked up at me and says, "How did you know that?" And I said, "Because He was, my mom was a secretary with the Yankees in the early 50s, and she was his first, he was her first boss there. And I remember somewhere along the line, and he said, yeah, he was such a nice guy, and it was great to know somebody who was in baseball when I was a kid. And it was amazing that with all the craziness going on, that he would stop, and he asked me questions about my mom and you know, how long she worked in the business and such. And but there's something I thought of tonight, and I don't know why I didn't think of it sooner. He has a connection with another charismatic player.
Who's
somebody
that?
Who played for the Mets, Tug McGraw.
Huh.
And the connection that I saw was that both Gary and Tug could very easily get standing ovations in two different cities for accomplishments in both places. Like, Tug was in New York and Philly. I remember going to the last game at the Vet in Philly, and they brought Tug out, and he got a standing ovation. And I remember all the times that he got those in New York at Old Timers Days and such. And Gary, you know, basically would get the same treatment in New York that he would get in Montreal. A lot of the people, fans in New York, didn't really take to heart a lot of the, you know, the grousing of the media people and such about his aura. And he always was, you know, he always got one of the bigger hands whenever they would bring the guys back in the 90s and up into the 2000s. And it's a rare athlete that can get that kind of treatment in two different places.
So true.
Although there's something that I remembered. I know as much as he was liked in Montreal, when I lived in New York, at least once every year, or maybe every 2 years, I would do my road trip up the Northway and spend a couple of days in Montreal. And I remembered that there were a couple of – I remember – he had a very lunging – towards the end of his career, his batting style, he was kind of lunging at the ball. And he had a tendency of popping up the ball and, you know, infield pop-ups and such. And I remember some of the Expos fans, you know, he'd hit a pop-up in the infield. And some of the Expos fans would sort of turn to each other and say, oh, pop-up Gary. And I didn't know if that was just a few people who thought that or if that was something that – people realized that he, you know, sometimes he'd try a little bit too hard and he'd take that lunging swing and get under the ball and pop it up. Did that ever, even his second go around, did the people talk about that much when he was there, especially the second time around?
Not that I can recall, Paul, but I was young. I was 12 years old when he came back, so I don't remember that. I don't know if you're – I want to thank you for the call, Paul, and I don't know if you're a Daily Show fan or any of you out there are, but I'm a huge fan of the Daily Show. And their moment of zen tonight, how they end every show, was a Gary Carter walk-off home run. So that's – yeah, pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, one last thing.
Yes.
I was at the last game at the Big O.
Yes.
And I still have my tricolor hat that I bought that day.
Good, so wear it tomorrow.
I wear it out here, and people are like, oh, you're an Expos fan. I said, well, if it wasn't for the Mets, I'd be an Expos fan.
Well, considering the state of the Expos, I think we're allowed to get a little bit of your love every once and again.
Uh-huh.
Paul, thank you for the call. We appreciate you sharing your memories all the way from California tonight. And there he is. All right, let's keep this rolling. Let's go to Ralph in Montreal. 514-790-0990. We're taking your calls until midnight on Gary the Kid Carter. Let's go to Ralph. Hi, Ralph.
Hey, Dave.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm okay, man.
All right, yeah, it's a really sad night. I heard you guys talking about Gary Carter.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have a memory you'd like to share?
Yeah, I have a really good memory, and just wanted to share it. It was just another moment. I mean, a lot of people are saying the same thing, that Gary just spent so much time with everyone. I don't know how he had all that time. But
I was just thinking that, too. You know, like, imagine his kids having to share him with everybody else, and I mean, I remember it. I used to go to baseball camp with his daughter, Kimmy.
Oh, wow.
And I can only imagine how she would have felt as hundreds of kids just surrounded her dad. And she had to share her father with the world.
Right.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah. So I actually spent some time in Bridgeport, Connecticut, and Gary Carter was the coach of a team called the Long Island Ducks. They're both in the Atlantic Baseball League.
I remember that.
So Bridgeport had a team, and Gary Carter and his crew came over one day. So me and a bunch of buddies of mine went to the game, and we made posters for Gary Carter because he was the only person that we cared about in the game. And it was a quiet stadium, and you just hear like a group of guys just screaming at the top of their lungs for Gary Carter. And every time he'd walk onto the field, we were cheering for him. And then, you know, he gave little acknowledgments during the game. He gave like a little wave because it was so loud. You know, it was impossible that he didn't hear. And after the game, he stopped by and he spoke with us, and he was there for like a good half hour. And I even called my dad actually, and he took the phone and he spoke to my dad, who was an Expos fan since childhood.
What a thrill!
So, and it was just and. The coolest part of the story is that a little bit afterwards, a mutual friend of mine and the owner of the Long Island Ducks, actually, Gary Carter gave him a baseball to send to us, a signed baseball from the Atlantic League. And I still have it. It says, Gary Carter, manager of the Long Island Ducks. He just, for some reason, he took the time out, he remembered, and he sent us a ball.
That's Gary Carter, Ralph. That's Gary Carter. And every story I've heard tonight and every story that was told on the tribute show we did a few weeks back says exactly that.
Right.
And it's just so wonderful that we all got to have a little piece of him. And thanks to Kimmy and the rest of the Carter family for sharing him with us.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call, Ralph.
Hopefully more baseball players will be inspired by him.
Yeah, let's hope that somebody can pick up that mantle. I don't know if that exists, but thank you for the call. This is TSN. We're talking Gary Carter tonight, and it's been a tough night, but we're very happy to be sharing all our thoughts with all of you, and we're going to keep it going. Phone lines are open, and we want to hear your Gary Carter memories. Let's go to Patrick in LaSalle. Good evening, Patrick.
Hey, guys. I got two quick memories.
Sure, go ahead.
The first one, well, I was 10, and he came, like, you know, Gary's a man of faith, so he came to our churches, to our youth group, and spoke to, like, all of us. It was like 300 kids gathered to hear him talk about, you know, what it meant for him, you know. So that was cool. And then years later, this is about, well, now it's about 6-7 years ago, I got a chance to drive him from, I was working for Avis at the time, driving him from Dorval Airport to the Peel location downtown. And he just gave me story after story about baseball and what it's like being a broadcaster and what baseball was for him. And he just kept going on. I just wanted to listen. You're just sitting there listening, taking it in. And I was like, wow, I'm listening to Gary Carter talk to me personally. So I thought that was pretty thrilling for me.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was. It was. Thanks for letting me share that one.
Anytime.
All right.
Anytime. Sean, a little commercial break. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back. Welcome back. Dave Kaufman, Mo Khan, Sean Coleman, TSN Radio 990, and we are here. I am here till midnight. Then I'm going to take a break, Mo, and I'll come back. But I could use a few minutes if that's all right.
Yeah, sure, no problem.
We're trying to get in touch with another special guest, and we're hoping that he gets through. And needless to say, the phone lines are open, 514-790-0990, 1-866-896-2546. My plan tonight, starting 3 hours ago, was to play you guys some of my tribute to Gary Carter from my show on January 23rd. But between all the phone calls and all the memories and everything that's going on, there just isn't enough time. So I encourage you all to download the January 23rd episode of The Kaufman Show off of iTunes, or go to the website thekaufmanshow.podbean.com. Jay and Mark and myself really worked hard on that episode and did our darndest to put something out there that would resonate. And we did our best to make sure that the Carter family would hear it, warts and all. Some people call in and during the tribute and say that they think he's already gone. We tried to handle it as best we could. We wanted to pay tribute to Gary Carter while he was still here because we wanted him to hear it. And he did get to hear it, so that was wonderful. Now let me tell you the story, Mo, about how he got to hear it. Kimmy Carter sends me an email a couple of Saturday nights ago, about two weeks ago. And I had sent her an email a few days after our show and said that we did this tribute to your dad and we would love to send it to you guys. And she wrote me back on a Saturday night very late and said, in this kind of desperation that you know, my mom was really sick once. She was in a coma for like a week. And I remember that desperate feeling, you know, like that please pray my mom and anything anyone can do.
Sure.
I felt that desperation. Maybe it was the caps in the email from Kimmy Blomers. And right away got to work with Mark Griffin on cutting that podcast down and burning it and onto a CD. And I promised Kimmy that I would be at FedEx first thing Monday morning to send it. I get to FedEx and they charge me $50 and they promised me that it would be there Tuesday morning before 10:30. Gave me an online tracking number and I was happy. I sent her an email, said it will be there at 10:30 tomorrow morning. She wrote back, thank you. And frankly, time was of the essence. The next morning, 10:30, I check the online tracking number, and the package is in Memphis, Tennessee. At 11, I check it again, and it's still in Memphis, and at noon, I check it again and call FedEx customer service. And they inform me that the package has been delayed, it's stuck in Memphis, and it won't be there until the following day. And I said, that's not good enough. And the lady offered to credit my account, and I said, that's not good enough. And she was like, well, what can I do? And I said, do you know who Gary Carter is? I fully pulled rank. I said, do you know who Gary Carter is? And she said, no, I'm sorry. I said, okay. Get your boss, find a boss, a manager, a supervisor, who knows who Gary Carter is, and tell them to call me back. So about 15 minutes later, I get a phone call from a woman named Julie Curry in the executive president's office at FedEx Canada. She's calling me from Toronto, and she says, hi, Dave, I'm Julie. I grew up watching Gary Carter play baseball. What can I do for you? And I explain to her the situation, and she promises me that that letter will get to Gary Carter, that those CDs will get to Gary Carter that day. She says she doesn't care if somebody has to look through every little package in the sorting center in Memphis at FedEx. Anyways, I was placated. I hung up the phone. She called me back about 10 minutes later and said that the place was locked until the middle of the night and there was nothing that could be done. I was heartbroken, Mo. I'd promised this to the Carter family. And I don't know how much time Gary had at that point. I had no idea. I just knew that this package needed to get there yesterday. Julie Curry from FedEx, bless you. She got on the phone with Miami, the head office in Miami, and had them go onto our website and upload the episode or download the episode, burn it onto a disc, and then had the driver, the manager drive it personally from Miami to West Palm or Palm Beach Gardens, where the Carter family lives. They went into the house. They tested the CDs out personally, and about 4:30, quarter to 5 that afternoon, I got an email from Kyle and Kimmy thanking me and saying that they'll be sharing it with Gary. And I'll tell you, I was in tears, Mo. I was in tears, and I owe so much to this woman, Julie Curry at FedEx. She put a human face on a corporation. And she really reminded me of the good in everyone. And that's been one thing. Sean, really? You're going to hit the dump button on me right now?
Can't say that word, Dave. Doesn't matter when it is.
And are we back on live?
We are live.
All right. Where was I?
It was a bad moment.
Okay. It was very nice to see in all of this, for as horrible a deal as Gary Carter has gone through, the good in everyone. We've seen such good in humanity. And it's great that we've got to share this with all of you tonight. And it's was really, it means the world to me to know that we got to share our tribute with Gary Carter. To know that his family got to hear Anakin Slade's song and got to hear how much Buck 65 matters. And how much Gary Carter matters to Buck 65. That's what sticks with me through all this, is this tough hip-hop artist who, at the sound of the name Gary Carter, turns into a 12-year-old kid again who's just blown away by the sweetness. And, sorry, may I ask what's going on here? Mo?
Well, Scott Miller.
Scott Miller will come on at midnight. We're wrapping up this hour,
okay,
and then
well.
Scott Miller will come on at midnight.
Okay, very well.
Scott Miller will be joining from CBSSports.com. You can check out his article, Hall of Famer Carter Gone, but the kid's smile will remain with us. Sorry, Mo, I want to keep the next 10 minutes for us
no worries. For
the fans, and if there's any fans that want to call in. As you said, you're going to be moving over to a little bit more CFL talk as well.
Yeah, we'll cover the Carter thing first and foremost, and then go to CFL. Right
and yeah, again, our apologies to Scott Miller from CBS, and we're very much looking forward to speaking with him. The next 10 minutes are for Montreal, and for anybody that wants to call. And of course, there is somebody else that we are waiting for as well, Mo, and we're hoping that he will call in at any moment. Our fingers are crossed. Check out the podcast that Jay, Mark, and I did with Anakin Slade in studio, with Buck 65, with Stephanie Miles, with Jonah Carey. We're going to do this, Sean. If she's calling again, it's because she needs to speak to us. Sonia
yeah,
Jean.
Yeah.
What's up?
Do you remember Terry Pym?
Terry Pym?
Yeah, he used to always catch. He was at every Expos game that ever was, and his brother John Pym was a rabble.
No, I don't.
No, okay.
I don't.
Well, anyway, I'm sure he's crying big time.
We're all crying tonight.
Oh, we are.
We're all crying tonight. I am having a lot of trouble keeping it together on air,
yeah,
and I'm very much looking forward to 10 minutes from now when I can take a break
and
go have a quiet smoke by myself outside
and just breathe.
And,
all right. Well, listen, thank you very much for your show. I really appreciate it.
Sonia Jean, I'm on every Monday night, and we talk a lot of baseball. So don't be a stranger, okay?
I love baseball.
Good. Don't be a stranger.
Okay. Me, you neither.
Okay.
Okay. Cheers.
Cheers. She called 3 times tonight. And she called 3 times tonight because she wants to talk. And not everybody's friends talk baseball. That's something I've noticed over the years. A lot of my friends that are my baseball friends are just that. They are my baseball friends. I met them at the Olympic Stadium. People like Max and Katie. My buddy Kevin that I used to listen. Kevin's the guy that first call of the night was a guy named Dave Ogier. And Dave, I've known since I was a little kid. I haven't seen him since the Expos left, but I've known him since I was a little kid. And Dave mentioned going out to that airport in St. Hubert to welcome the Expos back in 2003 from their road trip from hell. I believe it was 27 games in 29 days, including a flight from San Juan, Puerto Rico to Seattle. As Zach Day said on my show last summer, anytime you have to refuel... in the middle of the trip, you know it's not fair. But Kevin organized that rally, and I met Kevin that day. I met him on the highway. We both had a bunch of Expo stuff in the back of our car, so we recognized each other and started honking on the highway and ended up playing catch, waiting for the Expo to show up that day, and the guy's been one of my closest friends ever since. Baseball's meant so much in this town, and it still does. It's been so important. Let's go back to the phones. 514-790-0990. We've got Claude in Côte Saint-Luc. Good evening.
Good evening, sir. How are you?
I'm good.
Good to hear. I want to talk about my Gary Carter memory.
Good.
Okay, well, as a kid growing up, he was my idol, just like probably everybody else in this city. I imitated him, me and my friends, the batting stance, the sleeve on the left and the right, and the way he ran with the arms separated. It was just a great time, and I'll tell you something about Gary. Nicest guy you'll ever meet in your life. I mean,
I know.
Nicest guy. I was 12 years old, 13 maybe, at the Olympic Stadium, and sitting right over the dugout line, like 15 rows over, and I said, "Gary, can I have a ball?" And he looked at me and said, he pointed his index finger, said, "One second." Went to the dugout, grabbed the ball, threw it at me. This old guy grabs out of my hand and runs up the stairs. Gary goes, "Hey, what are you doing?" So he looks at me, Gary, sees me in a very sad face, tells me, "One second." Goes back in the dugout, comes back like 20 seconds later, calls me down, says, "Come down, come down." Went down to the dugout, and he just tossed me the ball and goes, "Here you go, kiddo." What a nice guy, you know. He really nice guy. And, you know, from 80 to 94, I would say baseball probably was the number one sport in the city.
Yeah, outside of the summer of 90, the spring of 93, I agree with you.
Yeah, and the reason why it was so big, my friend, is the kid.
Yeah.
He was the ex. He carried this city. And sometimes I think to myself and say, could Gary Carter have been bigger than Guy Lafleur? I know Guy Lafleur was big. Guy was big in the city. But Gary Carter was pretty close to being as big as Guy in this city. Do you agree?
I do agree, and I'm highly biased because I'm a baseball guy.
Yeah, me too.
But, we had George from St. Lazare call earlier and talk about how they were neck and neck, but 1-2.
That's right. Another thing, they will be honoring him on Sunday before the Devils game.
Good.
Before 6 o'clock or early start. They're
That's right.
Honoring him.
That's right. The game's on national TV, so I imagine that's why it's the early start.
Yeah, that might be the only 6 o'clock game at the Bell Center or Montreal Forum ever, I think, in the history.
I'll tell you what, this might be the only time that I will pay up the nose from a scalper to go watch the Devils play on a Sunday night.
Yeah, not
because
a bad
I want
idea.
To be there for that.
Not a bad idea. I might be there, too.
Good.
All right, my friend.
Thank you,
nice.
Claude.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hate to say it, but we're running out of time, Sean. And I don't really want to end this right now, but... I'll be honest with you, we are waiting for one of my favorite expos to hopefully call in. And if he calls in during Mo's show, then hopefully Mo will cut down the CFL chatter, and hopefully we can get a couple of words from Delino DeShields. If not, I will do my darndest to get Delino on with me next Monday night, and we'll pick up where we left off. But, you know... I didn't expect to be doing this tonight. I sent Rod a message just around 6 o'clock suggesting that maybe we run the tribute and just press record and press play and let it go. And he said, "No, why don't you come in and do some parts live and do some parts taped?" We never got to the taped part. Delino just got back. He cannot do it tonight. Hopefully he will get on with us in the future. This is the song I was looking for. Thank you all for taking part in this tonight. It meant a lot to me. And it's great to know that there are so many other people that love the Expos and love Gary Carter out there. You can reach me on Twitter at The Kaufman Show or send me an email, savetheexpos@hotmail.com. I'll be on doing the Habs postgame with Mo tomorrow night, but we'll be talking about this on Monday on my show at 11 p.m., among many other things. Funnily enough, we have Steve Sachs on the show to talk about the Simpsons, but I know that Steve was a National Leaguer for a long time, played against Gary Carter for many years, so we'll definitely speak to him about that. For Mo Khan and Sean Coleman, thank you to Gary Carter. You meant so much to us. We're going to go out on this song. We're going to let it play, Sean. This is called Montreal. It's by The Tragically Hip. I'm Dave Kaufman. Oh,
Hold on, Montreal.